It's Britsky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With access to cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 6th of October, year of our Lord 2025. The numbers are flying by on the calendar here. But something else that is flying by as a relic of a bygone past is the Constitution. We're going to take a look at the police state of Donald Trump. He's even getting pushback from a judge that he appointed, and she is 100% right in terms of what she said, that this is against everything this country was ever founded upon. We do not want a standing army enforcing arbitrary edicts by unitary executive. So we're going to talk about that to start with. We're also going to talk about AI. You know, maybe it's not really a threat to jobs, except when it crashes the stock market. We'll be right back.
San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. They're very unsafe places, and we're going to straighten them out one by one.
They're saying you're trying to take over the Republic.
And this is going to be a major part for some of the people in this room. That's a war, too. It's a war from within. I told Pete we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military.
Yeah, a war from within. Looks like he's doing his best to start a civil war. Yeah, the other people are chipping in on their side as well. It's the left-right divide, and he's looking for any excuse to build this up. You know, for the longest time, you know, what we saw in Chicago with hundreds of troops, helicopters, people rappelling off of the helicopters, going through arresting everybody in sight, including children, throwing flashbang grenades everywhere. This is precisely what Alex Jones was talking about more than a decade ago. He had already done 4 police state documentaries when I started to work for him. I thought he was against this stuff. No, it turns out he's for it if it's done by Trump. He's against it only if it's done by the Democrats. We talked about this. Everybody making fun. The black helicopters, the drills in all the different cities. And I talked about this event last week, but I'm going to go back over it again. I had the woman who said in Chicago, a black woman in a poor area of town. And we know that there's a lot of gang fighting there, which is a relic of the drug war, which they're now escalating to a new and dangerous level. But there are people that are shot, several dozen shot every weekend there, rival gangs. A lot of people killed with that. But this woman who's lived there all of her life says, I've never had a gun stuck in my face before. It took the federal government to do that. They can always come in and make a bad situation worse, can't they? Sometimes you can just, what you're throwing on the fire is a bucket of gasoline. Around 1 a.m. in the morning on last Tuesday, armed federal agents rappelled from helicopters on the roof of a five-story residential apartment on the south shore of Chicago. As they worked their way through the building, they kicked down doors. They threw flash grenades. They rounded up adults and screaming children, detaining them in zip ties and arresting dozens of them. This is the kind of over-the-top satire level of authoritarian police state that we would see typically by Terry Gilliam in 1984 in Brazil. I'm laughing, but this is how absurd it has become. Trump is an absurdity. He's an authoritarian absurdity. He is aiming not for a Nobel Peace Prize. What he really deserves is to be charged in international criminal court because his role model is Robert Duterte of the Philippines. And I was glad to see that Reason picked up on that. They said his the way he's conducting himself, the things that he's saying, death penalties for this and death penalties for that, just like that dictator in the Philippines, whom he loved in his first term. He thought the guy was doing a great job, and now he wants to mimic him. The military raid was part of a widespread immigration crackdown called Operation Midway Blitz. It's drawn outrage through Chicago and state and rights groups and lawmakers, claiming it represents a dramatic escalation in the tactics used by the federal authorities. Of course it has. And it disgusts me to see conservatives excusing this. Now, we've got, as an example, this is a war within. What happens in war? Well, the first casualty is truth. And you have both sides of the war have their own narrative about what happened. And we're going to see that when we talk about this woman who was shot by ICE. Was she the aggressor? Were they the aggressor? It depends on who you hear from. And so you can't find out what the truth is once this starts. And that's why you better make sure that you've exhausted every other possibility before you start a war. Trump is the guy that they have put in charge to take us into a civil war. So Illinois Governor Pritzker has now been given the opportunity by Donald Trump to sound like he's a founding father. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that he's making heroes out of these people. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel or whatever. You know, Jimmy Kimmel and Pritzker and everything, he's putting them in as victims so they look good. It's the same thing the Democrats did to Trump.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply, multiply, multiply. Multiply!
With X to the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Up when he was running for office. Which is why he never had to run for office, why he never had to debate anybody, why he never had to defend his shoddy record of his first term either. So Pritzker accused federal agents of separating children from their parents, they did, zip-tying their hands, they did, and detaining them in dark vans for hours, they did. Videos show flashbangs erupting in the street, followed by residents from the apartment building, children among them being led from the building. Photos of the aftermath show toys and shoes littering the apartment hallways, evidence of those pulled from their beds at 1 a.m. in the morning by FBI and Homeland Security agents. This makes me want to throw up. This is not America. This is Trump's America. And MAGA and conservatives want to cheer this stuff. They're part of the problem. They're no better than Antifa. They are no better than Antifa. They have a different cause, but the two sides neither one of them have any principles, any moral foundation that they want to build a civilization off of. They now just want to go after each other. And guess what? We're stuck in the middle with Antifa on the left of us and MAGA on the right. I'm stuck here in the middle with you. It's an Orwellian farce what Trump is doing here. Pritzker said these military-style tactics should never be used on children in a functioning democracy. That didn't happen in a country with an authoritarian regime. It happened here in Chicago. Well, it did happen in a country with an authoritarian regime. How many times does Trump have to get rid of the First Amendment? How many times does he have to do this until we call it what it is? Rule by executive order is an authoritarian regime, folks. He said this happened in the U.S. DHS has touted some 900 arrests in a Chicago operation. Look, I'm very much against leaving people with who are illegal aliens here. I think, you know, some of these people are the criminals have been arrested and let loose. So fix the judicial system. Number one, fix the judicial system. Number two, you can fix local law enforcement. They're finding these people, the violent criminals, and they're arresting them. The problem is the judicial system is turning them back out on the street. And the biggest problem is that we've got this gigantic welfare magnet. You come here and we'll give you free money forever. Fix those problems before you start doing this kind of stuff. They're doing this kind of stuff because they want a civil war, folks. Shame on them. Shame on the people who support this. So 37 arrests were made in the nighttime raid on Tuesday, all of whom, it said, were involved in drug trafficking, distribution of weapons, crimes, and immigration violators. This area was known to be frequented by the Trinity Gang, which, again, good case can be made that it was a creation of the CIA, just like Al-Qaeda. The ACLU said the raid represented an escalation of force and violence from the federal government in Chicago. They can be right occasionally, you know, like a broken clock. What we saw was a full-fledged military operation conducted on the south side of Chicago against an apartment building, So yeah, Police State 5, the Trump MAGA deception. How about having that Alex? They just treated us like we were nothing, said a citizen from the apartment building. She said she was handcuffed and held for hours. This is the one I played the other day. They held her until 3 a.m. in the morning. So the first time a gun is ever put into her face. So the raids come just days after Trump signaled a desire to make greater use of the U.S. military in American cities. During the speech, I just played some of that for you. The war from within. Telling the assembled generals last week, we are under invasion from within. How are you under invasion from within? It doesn't even say invasion across our borders. No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms. Hey, you know, if they don't wear uniforms, they might think that you are the enemy at some point in time, might they? Huh? And especially these guys, when these guys, the ICE people, when they do wear uniforms, they put masks on their face. Why do we wear uniforms? Why do we have rules of war? Why do we have laws? Why do we have the Constitution? ISIS tactics were denounced on Friday. A Chicago alderperson was handcuffed by federal immigration agents at the Chicago Medical Center after questioning agents about their warrant to arrest people at the medical center. So if you question somebody and say, do you have a warrant for this? You get arrested. So that's not authoritarian, is it? DHS says that agents shot a woman in Chicago after they were boxed in, they said. Now, this is the event that everybody was disputing over the weekend, everybody talking about it. And it's very interesting to see the two sides of this. And so you got people on the left saying, look at this, they just shot a woman. The people on the right say, our poor agents nearly died if Lux could have killed. Federal agents shot a woman after being surrounded by cars. The woman, who was armed with a semi-automatic weapon, allegedly rammed her car into the agents. Now, the question is, if she had a gun, did she point the gun at them? Did she fire the gun? No, nobody said that she pointed the gun at them. Nobody said she fired the gun. Did she ram the car, or was it a fender bender with all the stuff that was going on? Who knows? She was somebody who was known to them, they said, because she had published some stuff on social media saying, let's go F up these people or whatever. And but what does that tell you? It tells you that ICE is scouring the internet, just like the UK cops, looking for comments and putting people on their list. Another thing that bothers me about this whole thing. Yeah, watch your speech, because they will come after you. And, I mean, we're not talking about J.D. Vance saying, they said something bad about Charlie Kirk, so get them fired. No, these are the DHS people who are scouring social media to try to put you on a list. So DHS said on Saturday in a news release that law enforcement officers, quote, fired defensive shots at an armed U.S. citizen after multiple vehicles boxed.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply, 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 multiply.
With X the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
And federal agents who are patrolling Chicago this morning. So let's understand, multiple cars are there, and they don't say that she pointed or waved a gun. They say they fired first in defense. Our brave law enforcement officers were rammed by vehicles. Now it's multiple vehicles were rammed them, right? And boxed in by 10 cars. Well, did they shoot everybody? What do they do to the other people? Dozens of armed federal agents in tactical gear have been patrolling the city. Protesters have at times clashed with law enforcement. In L.A. this summer, officers used tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse crowds during several nights of demonstrations. Well, I don't know if these were peaceful or not. This is Newsweek, so they're saying the demonstrations are mostly peaceful. And again, it can go in one of two ways here. Saturday morning, federal law enforcement agents were conducting routine patrolling in a Chicago suburb. I don't know that federal agents are supposed to be patrolling routinely. That's the whole problem, right? Where are the people? As I said before, there's been a couple of good articles on the New American, but I would think since they were warning about this 60 years ago, support your local police, support your local sheriff, that they've been aware of the dangers of federalized, militarized police for a very long time. I mean, they ought to be screaming this with, you know, a half dozen articles a day. There's enough to write about it. And we don't see that on the right. Recent protests and clashes with law enforcement in that area have led to dozens of arrests. The agents were, quote, rammed by vehicles and boxed in by 10 cars this morning. One of the drivers who rammed the law enforcement vehicle was armed with a semi-automatic weapon, they said. The woman allegedly posted online, hey to all my gang, let's F those mothers. Don't let them take anyone. And so she was already on their list, they said, but they didn't know that when they shot her. It was unclear whether federal authorities arrested the woman after receiving treatment. She drove to the hospital and received treatment, but they don't say whether she was arrested or not. Homeland Security did not respond to any questions about the shooting. Isn't that interesting? And neither did the Chicago police. The Chicago police were called and they said, well, we're not going to talk about this. We have no details to tell you. We didn't sort out what had happened there. We went there to control traffic. Authorities did not name the armed individual, but they said the woman had appeared in a bulletin last week because of her social media posts. They're putting out bulletins. Be on the lookout for, right? So they're watching social media, just like the UK Gestapo. At least one person was arrested at the scene, according to bystanders. Elizabeth Ruiz, 51, said federal agents rammed the back of a car driven by her son, Anthony Ruiz, after the shooting. The mother said the agents then detained her son, a 21-year-old U.S. citizen, and confiscated the car. I mean, the police confiscating a car that hasn't, have they charged him with a crime? This is the drug war that we've seen over and over again. Civil asset forfeiture. They charged the car with the crime. So the car rammed into them. And it wasn't even a Waymo. How about that? They turned it all around, said the mother. She said she was on the phone with her son when the shooting began. When she arrived at the scene, agents took him into custody. They later told her he could be released Monday, today. It was one of you guys that rammed my son. Why are you arresting him? She said. The Chicago police said officers responded to the scene to document the shooting and to control traffic, but they declined to detail what happened. Chicago Police Department is not involved in the incident of this investigation. Federal authorities are investigating the shooting, said the police. So the federal authorities will investigate themselves. There's no separation of powers. There's no second guessing of this. It is what the federal government says it is. End of story. The Brighton Park intersection quickly attracted dozens of protesters who stretched a block along the road there. The crowd grew to nearly 100 people, but it escalated as many of the agents left. Residents initially heckled the agents with a steady stream of criticism and antagonism. A young man was pushed to the ground by a federal agent, causing protesters to shout and tensions to rise. They come in, and this is all really a deliberate provocation, the way that they're doing this. And you've probably seen by now, we didn't play it because it's all visual, and we have a lot of people listen on the audio podcast. But there was one scene where a kid on a bicycle drives by, and he just yells an insult to these agents. And they all start chasing him, all 10 of them. You know, you're not allowed to talk back to your masters. Don't you look sideways at your masters. And he got away from all of them on the bicycle. So that's been making the rounds for a lot of people. He stepped in the street, and the federal officers shoved him back in the most brutal manner possible, said one person. Agents then began throwing tear gas canisters into the crowd. One person tried to grab a canister. The agents jumped on top of the individual. People were clearly angry, but they posed no threat. Federal agents put both the Chicago Police Department and all those people in danger when they didn't have to. They put people in danger, he stressed. They're now shooting at cars. These agents are 100% out of control. Agents have already fatally shot one person, Villegas Gonzalo, last month as he fled his car during attempted arrest. DHS officials immediately claimed an agent had been dragged by the man's car. But in body camera footage later obtained by the Tribune and other news organizations, the agent referred to his own injuries as, quote, nothing major, moments after he shot and killed the man. DHS and ICE are known to lie about the nature of their operations. Yeah, they all do. And, of course, they have a license to kill. They're 007. Of course, now that Bezos has taken over the MGM and the Bond franchise, he's going back and removing the guns from James Bond. I guess he's revoked. Jeff Bezos has revoked his license to kill. I mean, it was all about that. Anyway, they just don't know what to do with these franchises when they buy them to the Travis.
It's amazing.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With Texas the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
And everything gets worse and
it's
worse.
Like Lord of the Rings, and the same thing is going to be done with Narnia, I'm sure. I mean, just.
We should rendition Greta Gerwig. She should not be allowed anywhere near a film crew ever again. Detain her indefinitely.
So now let's take a look at what the conservative side says, which is that's the approach from Newsweek. Let's take a look at what Zero Hedge and Fox and these people say, right? Because this is a war. Both sides have conflicting statements. We don't know really what happened with either one of them. So this is the headline from Zero Hedge. The ICE agents were ambushed in Chicago. The armed attacker, a woman who was a U.S. citizen. Well, interesting, the armed attacker, that's an interesting phrase. They said she had a gun. Where was the gun? Was it in the car on the floor or whatever? Was it, you know, holstered on her? I don't know. Nobody has said that she attacked them with a gun. Nobody has said that she pointed the gun at them or that she fired the gun at them. And so a lot of this is the kind of thing that you'll see from the police after the fact. I'll just tell a personal story. We had, as I said, when I worked at Texas Instruments, the group that I was in, I was the American. They had a German, a Japanese, a French guy. And they had a lot of English people. So we had a lot of friends that we hung out with, especially the English. The German guy, Dietmar, spoke English, but the French guy didn't. And the Japanese guy, he was just constantly reading. He never talked to anybody, as though he was always stuck in a book. Anyway, we had our British friends. One of them had his family, his brother and his parents came to visit him in the U.S. And they were driving around in our friend's car, and it sounded, they were going under an overpass, and it sounded like somebody dropped something on their car. They heard this bang. And they pull over and get out and look at the back of the car, and they see a bullet hole. You know, they found out it was a bullet hole, but it was a hole about this big around. And they open up the trunk as the cops get there, and there was a shootout that was happening. There had been a bank robbery, and the police had followed the robber to an apartment complex where they had a shootout. And they open up the trunk, and the cop sees the bullet there, and he grabs it and goes, "That's not ours," and he walks away. I don't know if it was his or not, but you better believe that he's not going to tell anybody that it was theirs if it was theirs. So Chicago police told officers no units will respond as protesters surrounded federal agents. And again, this is Zero Hedge and Fox. Fox News' Bill Malugan said they were surrounded by protesters. It remains unclear whether the rejection was due to a shortage of officers or to a genuine refusal. So this article is about the fact that the Chicago police did not send a lot of officers there, although they did send officers there to report about the shooting and to control traffic. So again, the conservatives cast this as the feds were abandoned and thrown to the dangerous wolves that were there. The liberals look at this as the Chicago Police Department is covering up the federal crimes. The truth probably is somewhere in the middle of those things, but we will not be able to find out what it was. In Prigg versus Pennsylvania, that court case said that states could decline to help federal law enforcement. That's the non-commandeering decision, saying that you can't force and compel people to help you. So they don't have to do that. But then the way that this is spun by the conservative press is they were, you know, they don't have to help federal law enforcement, but they can't obstruct it. Today's sanctuary jurisdictions have turned non-cooperation into active interference, allowing street gangs to block ICE. It's no longer federalism. It's nullification, said a Fox News reporter. Well, I'm all for nullification. I support nullification, strongly support nullification. That's the most peaceful way to enforce the separation of powers. The federal government has become too consolidated, too powerful. They were always merely an appointed agent for limited duty, appointed by the states who retained the majority of their sovereignty, as well as the people who did that. That's what the 10th Amendment says. It's what the 9th and 10th Amendment says. And nullification is the peaceful way to not have a war. So the right-wing media is pushing this really hard, especially Fox. So they went out and they said, well, you know, the Fraternal Order of Police, the National and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police believe that when an officer calls for assistance, you answer no matter what. And so these were officers in distress. Were they? Were they in distress? Who knows as far as that goes. But then the other issue is this U.S. District Judge Karen Emmergut on Saturday basically put a temporary restraining order against Trump's imagined emergency and said that the White House's justification for all of this stuff was untethered to the facts, quote-unquote. The injunction will remain in place until at least October the 18th, pending further litigation. And so, again, this is a Trump-appointed judge who takes this Constitution seriously. As people are talking about what has happened in Portland, for example, this is Nick Sortor. He said, DHS has employed Blackhawks over the ICE facility in Portland as rioters get tear-gassed and pepper-balled by agents. Well, again, that's not necessarily just a protest if they are fighting with it. Who knows how that started? And when they got the Blackhawks, they remember how when we used to talk about militarized helicopters, the black helicopters? Remember how that used to be a thing? And everybody, oh, these conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat. Well, here it is, Blackhawk helicopters. Following my wrongful arrest, said Nick Sortor, Secretary Noem promised to surge additional DHS resources into the area. That's kind of like the Afghanistan surge, right? It'll probably work out the same way. Looks like she's following through. He says, no mercy, all uppercase. Then you have Andy No. Is that how you pronounce his name, NGO?
I think it's just No.
No?
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Best the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration with top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million. It's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Yeah. Any non-governmental organization. Far left, he said, far left anti-government extremists have surrounded the ICE facility in an attempt to storm the building. They're encouraged to get arrested for the cameras and will have immediate access to cash and free lawyers. So again, both sides are playing this PR game and both sides are escalating this and initiating force. I got to say that, you know, when somebody is driving away and the police shoot them, that is not something that I think is justified. So the judge, Emmergut, agreed that Oregon is likely to prevail, warning that Trump's legal approach could allow a president to deploy troops, quote, virtually anywhere at any time, unquote, thereby undermining the separation of civil and military authority. And to respond to that, Homeland Security says the violence and the dehumanization of these men and women who are simply enforcing the law must stop. What about the violence and the dehumanization of the people who are sleeping in their beds at 1 a.m. in the morning? What about that? I am absolutely against SWAT team raids, no-knock raids, these dragnet raids of an entire building. Come on. I mean, how in the world can anyone support that? I just do not understand. And so the judge had more to say, Karen Emmergut. She said in her decision, as soon as the federalized National Guard deploys to Portland, the state of Oregon will suffer an injury to its sovereignty. She said, this country has a long-standing foundational tradition of resistance to government overreach, especially in the form of military intrusion into civil affairs. That tradition has deep roots in our history and found early expression, for example, in the constitutional provisions for civilian control of the military. The Federal Convention of 1787, she quotes, said a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty, they said. And again, quoting Madison, I've said this many times, the means of defense against foreign dangers have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. And that's what Trump is doing now. They're not even a means of defense for foreign dangers. They are dragging us into foreign wars one after the other. She said, this historical tradition boils down to a simple proposition. This is a nation of constitutional law, not martial law. Stamp that across that orange forehead of his. Defendants have made a range of arguments that, if accepted, she said, risk blurring the line between civil and military federal power to the detriment of this nation. So this temporary restraining order will be in effect until October the 18th. Trump is expanding federal powers under the Domestic Terrorism Directive. This is the New American. I covered this last week. Just to remind you, it was a National Security Presidential Memorandum, this executive order. It was called Countering Domestic Terrorism and Organized Political Violence. The directive orders federal agents to build a far-reaching law enforcement strategy to investigate and to dismantle what it calls terrorism domestically. She said, this is violating the First Amendment, which protects speech and assembly, the Fourth, which guards against unreasonable searches, and the Fifth, which guarantees due process. The memo's framing is selective. It casts dissent on the left as extremism while ignoring violence everywhere. And this is exactly what Biden did, right? And so both sides are doing this to demonize the other, to dehumanize the other. Both sides are pushing us into a civil war. That's why they're doing this left-right dance between Trump and Biden and Trump again, to build up this tension. Both of these sides are doing lawfare, and they are politically persecuting other people. And all of this, I believe, is deliberate by design to try to push us into a civil war. Don't follow them, right? The lawfare on the left is now lawfare on the right. Don't get fooled again. No doubt left-wing violence is real, writes the New American. The Antifa-branded groups, though amorphous and decentralized, have been involved in riots and assaults. Some are manipulated by nefarious actors who profit from chaos. But it is wrong to frame political violence as a domain of the left alone, because we just had an Iraqi war veteran open fire in a Mormon church, and we just had another veteran who just randomly shot up a waterside bar that was there. Trump is saying armed conflict justifies executing suspected drug dealers. Key word here is suspected even. You know, how long before he authorizes this on the streets of the USA? This is a reason. And they're talking about him bragging about blowing ships out of the water near Venezuela in international water. So he said that they were unlawful combatants in an armed conflict. Well, are we unlawful combatants? Have we declared a war against them? Have we followed the rules of engagement in a war? No. I would say that Trump and the people who push those buttons are unlawful combatants. This is no different, really, than what we saw that was exposed by WikiLeaks that nearly got Julian Assange killed because of the vengeance and the wrath of the federal government when he showed what they called it collateral murder, where they waited for people to show up, and they could see that they were reporters, they could see that they were medical staff, and they opened fire on them, and they got the... you could see what they saw, and you know that it was just simply murder. And this is simply murder as well. He says, they say here that the reality is that Trump has authorized military murder of criminal suspects who pose no immediate threat of violence. So far, Trump has ordered three of these attacks. Well, now it's four. He did more on the weekend. Again, these are attacks of boats that are not a threat, because they turned around. They didn't fire. And they don't know for sure if these people were smuggling drugs. None of that stuff was determined ahead of time, because they didn't They didn't engage them. They didn't interdict them, and which is the standard procedure. And you got people who were military, top military lawyers for the Army, for the Navy. All of them are saying this is absolutely unjustified. This is a very, very important precedent that Trump is setting, and it's a very bad precedent. Again, I'd say I call him President Trump. So Trump described these people as confirmed narco-terrorists from Venezuela, except there's no details on how they confirmed that. And he said that they were affiliated with a designated terrorist organization. Again, these are all just assertions without any proof, without any evidence. Contrary to Trump's implications, that designation does not turn murder into self-defense. So what they're saying is, even if this group was affiliated with a drug gang, and even if they were carrying the drugs, which is what I said from the very beginning, we have a procedure for doing that. And that procedure was still being followed elsewhere by the Coast Guard. This is not about that at all. It's yet another example of Trump flat out lying to people because he wants to start a war in Venezuela to take their oil. It's just that simple. This is just ruthless gangsterism. The State Department designation merely triggers the government's ability to implement asset controls and other economic sanctions under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the IEPA, and the Immigration Nationality Act, and along with other statutes. Look, just like with COVID, his emergency declaration released money, just like if you were to declare an emergency after a hurricane or a flood or something like that, it releases money. And so this designation of a terrorist group allows them to unleash sanctions and to do other economic things, but it does not mean that it is a declaration of war. We can just start going out and randomly shooting people. According to a White House spokeswoman, Trump is delivering on his promise to take on the cartels and eliminate these national security threats from murdering more Americans. This will ultimately result in these same types of rules of the game being done here on American streets. I guarantee you, they'll be murdering Americans in another decade on the streets, if that long. That framing is logically, morally, and legally nonsensical, says Reason. The truth is that Americans like to consume psychoactive substances that legislators have deemed intolerable, and that criminal organizations are happy to profit from that demand. You know, criminal organizations like the Criminal Intelligence Agency, the CIA. They're some of the biggest drug gang in the world right there. And so then they talk about, well, what about alcohol? So the alcohol producers and distributors who supply a product today that has an estimated 178,000 deaths a year from alcohol today. By Trump's logic, they should be subject to the death penalty, based on nothing more than the allegation that they were involved in the alcohol trade, the alcohol producers, distributors, retailers. There's obviously something wrong with an argument that would justify the execution of brewers, vintners, distillers, liquor store owners, and bartenders based on their complicity in alcohol-related deaths. Even during national alcohol prohibition, the government did not treat bootleggers as murderers, even when they were smuggling booze in the U.S., which is, according to Trump's reasoning, posing a deadly threat to national security. Yeah, the other thing was that they had enough respect for the Constitution that they passed a constitutional amendment, which underscores the fact that none of this United Nations war on drugs with its UN schedule of four drugs, none of this stuff is constitutional. And folks, what Reason is pointing out here is that you have a willing buyer and a willing seller. It is a spiritual issue. It's a medical issue, a spiritual issue. It's every kind of issue except law enforcement. Law enforcement has not worked for over 50 years. What is it now, 54, I think? 71? Is that it? Law enforcement has failed for half a century. When you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, you're the one who's crazy. This is a crazy, unconstitutional war on drugs. It's had a lot of deleterious effects to law enforcement, to corruption, to the judiciary, but it hasn't stopped the use of any of these drugs, and it never will. It never will. Again, It's the wrong tool for this problem. I'm not saying that drug use is not a problem. It's a big problem. Alcohol use is a big problem as well. And we realized that that prohibition wasn't the solution to it. The current drug prohibition regime is more severe in several respects. It still deploys the death penalty, though, only in rare cases. Federal law authorizes the execution of people who commit murder in the course of drug trafficking. It also notionally allows the death penalty for drug trafficking involving very large quantities. Those quantities are so large to be 300 times the amount that would trigger a mandatory 10-year sentence. But no death penalties have been imposed under these provisions. And it's not clear whether the death penalties would be considered to be constitutional or whether it would be considered to be extreme, cruel, and unusual punishment. Trump has made no secret, however, of his desire to execute drug dealers, and he thinks he's found a legal way of doing that without seeking new legislation or going to the trouble of arresting and trying suspects. The trick, he thinks, is to equate drug smuggling with violent aggression, to define drug interdiction as an armed conflict, and to treat suspected drug smugglers as unlawful combatants who can be killed at will, regardless of whether they're actually engaged in violence. Trump deemed his targets worthy of assassination simply because they allegedly were trying to supply Americans with politically disfavored intoxicants. And so calling them narco-terrorists is their game, the labels. Jeffrey Korn, who was formerly the U.S. Army's senior advisor on the law of war, told the Times that Trump has not established...
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Text to Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
The, quote, hostilities, unquote, required for a, quote, armed conflict against the U.S. Because, as the Times dryly puts it, selling a dangerous product is different from an armed attack. This is not stretching the envelope, he said. This is shredding it. This is tearing it apart. Cardoza Law School professor said that Trump's policy utterly is unprecedented. He said the proper and entirely feasible and precedented response would have been interdiction, arrest, and trial, which is the same response that was happening in other locales, because this has nothing to do with Trump's lie about drug trade. It has everything to do with the fact that he wants regime change in Venezuela so he can steal the oil there. The Trump administration's summary execution and targeted killing of suspected drug dealers, by contrast, is utterly without precedent in international law. And he says what I said from the very first day. In fact, there is precedent for considering such attacks when committed on widespread or systematic basis to be a crime against humanity. Former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is currently facing charges in the International Criminal Court. He's under arrest there for exactly that reason. What he did was an international crime against humanity. And what Trump is doing is the same thing in principle. Now, he hasn't killed tens of thousands of people yet, like Duterte did. But Duterte said, we got to stop drugs, and we're going to do it by just executing people on the street. So if you think somebody is a drug dealer, just kill them, and I'll excuse it. And so now he is standing trial for the murder of those people. Trump, however, is a big fan of Duterte, who likened himself to Adolf Hitler while urging the murder of drug offenders. During his first term, Trump bragged about his, quote, great relationship with Duterte, who he said was doing a great job, he said, and tackling substance abuse. Now Trump seems bent on copying Duterte's bloodthirsty example. And I wish somebody would lock up Trump as well. Who will protect us from the so-called protectors? This is from the Free Thought Project. And, of course, it's Andrew Napolitano, Judge Napolitano story. And that is always the question, you know. Who watches the watchers? Who protects us from the protectors? As Madison said, because men are not angels, we need to have government. But because the government is made up of men, we need to be careful about how we proceed with this thing. That is why we have the rule of law. That's why we have the constraints against government that are in the Bill of Rights. It was Madison who stressed that. And so, President Trump quietly signing a presidential national security memorandum that purports to federalize policing. This is, again, not only unprecedented, but unbelievably dangerous and destructive to America, what Trump is doing. It's just another continuation of this 9/11 COVID stuff to create a police surveillance state. Comments, Travis?
Yeah. Real Jason Barker. Good to see you, Jason. Hope you're doing well. A judge in Washington ruled Trump's use of National Guard unconstitutional.
Yes.
Time for an impeachment. Also, all these soldiers should refuse to follow unconstitutional orders.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, and it was a Trump judge who did it. Yeah. Mm. Good for her.
Do not obey, people. We are getting real close to the biometric digital implantation. How is it we the people are accepting of this? Well, they have been conditioned to over many years. Mm-hmm. Guard Goldsmith, good to see you, Guard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
that's our National Guard.
The previous comment, how are people accepting this? It's anything to stop these problems that they've created. Any solution they give us, no matter how illogical that solution, must be something that we have to do in order to stop their problems.
Yeah. They create this problem solution. Yeah, and our National Guard Goldsmith right there.
Exactly. Guard Goldsmith says constitutionally allows for three forms of federal land control: a 10 square mile area for a capital B territories. For a capital B territory, C, military garrisons. Fed courts are not to be on state land, and if they are, they're under state control. How does it feel to be living in a period of some of the most lawless federal activity since FDR or Lincoln? What a time to be alive.
Feels like deja vu, Guard, is what it feels like, yeah.
Be My Valentine says, in response to Guard, total chaos.
Branson.
Yeah, and Francine says police not here to protect and serve since a long time. Yeah.
Yep.
Knights of the Storm patrolling in full kit and weapons is not routine. At least it has not been historically. That's right.
Yeah.
Do not obey. Police today are order followers with zero moral aptitude, mostly from institution brainwashing. They do a good job of weeding out people that would question the orders. Guard Goldsmith. Unfortunately, the judge didn't go far enough, not ruling it unconstitutional, but just saying the facts of the situation didn't support Trump going in. The Constitution forbids it without state invitation.
Yes. I agree. Yeah, it was, at least she put a temporary restraining order on it. You know, she didn't have the guts to go full on head to head with Trump. But, she pulled back enough that, that's a good thing. I understand where she is.
Mm-hmm. MOE Studios, suspected drug dealers bomb Pfizer then. And of course, he's saying that from a military perspective, as in the president would issue the orders. We're not advocating that anyone in the audience would bomb Pfizer.
If you got, alcohol again, 178,000 people a year die. There is, when you look at the VAERS database, even with, it was Harvard did a study, and I think they found that if I remember correctly, it's 1%. Were all that were reported in the VAERS database. And yet they actively discouraged it like they've never done before. So if we look at that 38,000 as 1%, probably much less than that, that'd be 3.8 million people in the U.S. alone that were killed. And Trump thinks that Albert Bourla is a hero. And the question is, why do Trump's people who understand what happened with this genetic code injection, why do they still celebrate Trump as a hero? I cannot understand.
You know, they refuse to see the truth. Mm-hmm. Don't Frag Me, Bro says systemic corruption in the NYPD for over 30 years and going. Yeah, it was the NYPD that Frank Sarpacal was part of.
Yeah, that's right.
The NYPD is full of bad guys. Don't Frag Me, Bro. Mullen Commission, 1994, NYPD corruption. Knapp Commission, 1972, NYPD corruption. Frank Serpico, there. Yeah. Even gave
you know what
date.
Frank Serpico said? He said, every human institution is going to have good and bad people in it. He goes, the question is, can the institution, or will the institution, purge the bad people out, or will it close ranks around them and protect them, you know, because they're a cop? And he said, that's how the institutions go bad. And that's what we're seeing now. And we've seen this one institution after the other. It's not just the police. The police are some of the worst out there and the most dangerous when they go bad. But we've seen this from one institution in our society after the other. That's why we're in a fourth turning right now, because people have seen the corruption now for several decades, the corruption of people like FDR and others.
Says, Don't Frag Me, Bro, also says, then there is all the known factual corruption with LAPD, CPD, and LVPD. The four biggest departments have systemic corruption. What do you think this does to smaller departments, especially when you consider how much criminal fired cops end up at other departments?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A.Z. Beach, govs on both sides, they'd fund their own civil war. Well, that way, no matter who wins,
yeah,
they come out on top.
Yeah, just our civil war will be just like all the wars that our government has fought elsewhere, where we're playing both sides of the game. That's especially true with the drug war. You know, we're both sides of it. You got the Criminal Intelligence Agency, the CIA, the biggest supplier of that, of course, in Afghanistan. The U.S. military was guarding the poppy fields for them. While we've got an opium crisis going on here, I wonder where they get all that stuff to make the opium from.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
Energy Woman 707 says, our government is the biggest drug dealers. They don't like the competition.
Yeah, that's right.
Badass Uncle Sam. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I've got an interview with Badass Uncle Sam later today. Yeah, we're going to go at it for an hour or two.
Badass.
Yeah, he's down in New Orleans. I saw him when we went to New Orleans once.
New Orleans accent is a very interesting one. Very, very interesting. Nolens. Yeah. Constitutional carry instead of deploying troops will handle the situation better. That's right. It would fix the problem. Don't Frag Me, Bro. Government agents and useful idiots always take the violent path.
Mm-hmm.
Audi MRR, the war on drugs, has nothing to do with fighting addiction.
You're absolutely right about that.
Don't.
Yeah. It'll never work. It didn't work with alcohol. Gave us Al Capone and all these different gangs, and when we do it for 50 years instead of what was it was less than 10 years, I think, of the alcohol prohibition. But when you do it for 50 years, you get these international drug gangs that are so embedded globally. I mean, when they talk about having an authorization for the use of military force against drug cartels, that is basically an authorization for the use of force. And what was the number? It was 60-some-odd different countries. One of the gangs, just the Sinaloa cartel.
I think it was 64?
Yeah, and that 65? Was just one of the gangs. Yeah. So basically, that's just a blank check to deploy the military anywhere you wish and say, I'm fighting drug gangs.
I get to do what I want. Don't Frag Me, Bro, says, history has proven that tyrants do not return power back to the people peacefully.
That's right.
Defy Tyrant 1776. Trump should be careful what he wishes for when he says drug dealers who kill people should be given death penalty since his warp speed poison has killed millions around the world.
Yeah.
Steve Evs, drug dealer Albert Bourla is exempt. That's right. He has special privileges. Brian Deb McCartney, then they have to off the entire CIA. Do not obey. Don't have to commit an actual crime. Just be a dissenter and find yourself committed to prison as a terrorist.
Absolutely.
That's right. They'll rendition you. They will have you off somewhere, spirited away.
Well, when we come back, we're going to hit a variety of topics in the news, but we're going to begin with this stuff with Albert Bourla and Pfizer when we come back. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Have some interesting tech news as well. There may be a silver lining in terms of the fact that even though you had some of these CEOs bought the hype and they started firing a bunch of people and said, well, we're going to replace them with AI. They can't replace them with AI. The problem is that people are being replaced not with AI, but with H-1B visas. That's how they're replacing everybody. And it's when we look at this, what's going to happen when the stock market crashes because of the AI bubble? That's going to cost a lot of people that aren't just in tech sectors to lose their jobs. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Best's the Cash Scratch Tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch Tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. You should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, welcome back. We're going to talk, this is just general news. We're going to be talking about the drugs that we were just talking about, the hypocrisy of Trump concerned about drug gangs while he hands billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical companies. And we'll also talk about some COVID fraud, the PPP style. There's a lot of fraud around COVID. I have to clarify what I'm talking about is the PPP, as well as digital ID in the UK, cropping up everywhere. Strategy over optics, Trump's most favored nation status on drug prices. This is from the Brownstone Institute. And again, that is amazing. You know, most favored nation status. Oh, that's great. We're going to get that now from Pfizer. Pfizer's granting this stuff out. They're like, they're some kind of a sovereign nation. Actually, they got more money than most nations do. They're not $37 trillion in debt, so they got more money than the U.S. government does. Albert Bourla, standing in the White House beside Trump, stunned large segments of the public. The moment instantly became a lightning rod, drawing condemnation and confusion from those who remembered the unresolved, and in many cases still unaccounted for, devastation of the COVID-19 response. This is James Lyons Weiler, who says, my inbox and those of others who have worked to expose the record flooded with a single question, usually framed in rage or betrayal, such as, what the F? This piece is not an apology, nor is it an attempt to launder history. We must hold multiple truths at once. Okay, stop right there. No. Do not hold the idea that Trump is on your side when you see this, okay? That is doublethink. If you see it, the betrayal that this is, and you see the corruption that this is, then don't try to explain this away like some kind of a 4D chess thing, which is basically what he does in this article. He says, first he lays out the case against Pfizer and Borla. He said the 95% efficacy figure behind Pfizer's original mRNA vaccine that was marketed with urgency and without full transparency was a result of a methodological sleight of hand. This is soft peddling this in an inexcusable way. You need to understand it was premeditated fraud, premeditated murder. This is mass murder that they'd practiced for 20 years going back to Dark Winter. Don't try to sugarcoat this. Don't give me this, mistakes were made, we were sloppy. That's not what this was at all. So again, he's not going to try to sugarcoat it. Well, I think he did right there from the get-go. He's sugarcoating it. I won't follow anymore with what he's got to say, because at that point, I'm done. If you can't see this for what it is, if you can't call it what it was. And when we look at what is going on with autism, this is an interesting article from Children's Health Defense. They won't say this about Tylenol, but they will kind of through the back door criticize this whole Tylenol narrative. They said, redefining brain injury as autism. This has been a long-term strategy to conceal vaccine harms. Because just like Tylenol, this article outlines how they have used brain injury as a red herring to distract attention from the vaccine stuff. And that's a metaphor that I go back to. It's such a wonderful metaphor. The people who didn't like fox hunting in the UK, so they would wait in the bushes, you know. And when they would see the fox go running by, they would run out with the smelliest fish they could find, which was a red herring, evidently, and drag it across the trail to throw the hounds off the scent. And that's what this calling autism, relabeling it as brain injury, or relabeling it as Tylenol given to pregnant women. That's what this stuff is all about. It's about a red herring to let the foxes, the pharmaceutical companies and the vaccine industry, that's the fox. And this is all being done by RFK Jr. and the Trump administration to let them go free. For over a century, vaccination has been repeatedly linked to severe neurological injuries, including brain damage, with many modern studies showing a 3 to 7-fold increase in common chronic illnesses. And let me just say, it's a much stronger case than that. I think one of the best examples of this was that family that was here in Tennessee. They had moved here, I think, from Illinois, so they could homeschool the kids and freedom and things like that. And they got a divorce, and as part of the divorce, the judge, who was very pro-vaccine, says, these kids haven't been vaccinated. And at that point, I think the youngest one was like 8 years old or something, and he says, if one of you parents agree to catch up on these kids' vaccines, I'll give you custody of the kids. The woman's lawyer knew all this going in, so he was the one who basically brought that up. So she gets custody. They take the kids to a doctor who foolishly gives them one shot after the other, because if you look at the vaccine schedule, they keep repeating the same vaccines for the same disease. I mean, how many times do you have to get vaccinated in one setting against measles, right? None of that makes any sense, even by their own imaginary science fiction world that they operate in. And so they split it up for the young girl because she'd already had some allergic reactions to things. But both of the boys got the full course. Both of them were sent to intensive care. One of them got out in a few days and was okay. But the youngest one, when he came out, he's so severely autistic that his dad has to change his diapers for him. He can't communicate. He can't even do bowel movements anymore. And so that was the youngest boy. If that was the only case, that would be enough to stop this vaccine schedule. That would be enough to show that autism can be caused by these vaccines. That is a smoking gun. They've never had a direct causal relationship with Tylenol or any of this other stuff. And again, the kids who are getting Tylenol after they've been born, they're also getting the vaccines. And so is the mother. The mother's been vaccinated while she's pregnant. They used to not do that. It wasn't that long ago that they would tell pregnant women not to get vaccinated. Now they tell them that they must get vaccinated. To dodge this massive liability, all research into vaccine injuries, and just like they did with other things like Agent Orange, was suppressed so that health authorities could claim that there was no evidence of vaccine harm. They always do that. They always do that. Let's just not have any research. They did that with marijuana, medical marijuana. Well, there's no studies that show it. Why? Because you guys haven't done any studies. The government doesn't fund it. Corporations aren't going to fund it. The government wants it prohibited, and the corporations can't make money from it. And that's the way it is with all natural substances. If the government can't make any money from it, they won't do any studies, not our government. Another scheme was to redefine the brain injury as autism rather than as encephalitis, for example. Previously, children with significant vaccine brain damage were referred to as mentally retarded. However, after a multi-decade campaign canceled the word retarded, they were instead diagnosed as autistic, a vague term which blurs severe and minor disability together, thereby effectively concealing the severe case from the public's awareness. And again, in that family, there was no question that that was severe. So, getting back to the fraud, the other fraud, I mean, the fraud of not only giving all this stuff to Albert Bourla, but following the UN agenda to lock us down, which was their plan to do that all along, and looking the other way while people were being killed and cheering it as some kind of a breakthrough miracle. We also had the PPP nonsense. And here is a company that was supposedly a small business that was there as a gym or something. And this fitness company was just a front to collect PPP checks. Except, you know what? One of the things that they did was they redefined what a small business was. And as a result of that, it benefited some of Trump's businesses. But as a result of that, more than 50% of the money went to less than 5% of the companies that were out there. And a lot of small businesses still went under. And I bring this up again because I think this is going to happen yet again with the small farmers. Trump's tariffs are destroying small farms, as I reported last week. One out of every three farms in Arkansas going out of business. And so he promises that he's going to get around to giving them some money. But before he gives any money to the farmers, he wants to send more money to his pal running Argentina, Javier Milei. They already sent billions of dollars to Argentina. Argentina took the money, and then they repaid us by cutting their tariffs to China and selling soybeans to China. So China is buying zero soybeans from us now. But don't expect the small soybean farmers to benefit from this. I think it's all going to go to large corporations, the essential corporations. It's going to go to Big Ag. It's going to go to companies like Archer Daniel Midland. It won't go to the farmer down the street from you.
And when you think about it, that actually is very detrimental to the small businesses, small farmers. You know, when you give a ton of money to the competition, more than half the money is going to the big guys who are then going to be able to cut their prices, just as we saw happen on a national scale.
Yeah. It's a double whammy. You know, not only do you harm them, but you give money to their big competitors as if they needed more money. They've got Wall Street, where they can operate at a loss for decades. I mean, it's like being able to print money with the Federal Reserve, the Wall Street gang is. But anyway, I think he's going to do things.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With Exit the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Exactly the same thing to small farms. This one company there fraudulently obtained $3 million in PPP loans, then attempted to obtain over another $4 million in PPP loans. They caught them, however, sentenced them to fraud and aggravated identity theft, sentenced to 4 years and 6 months. Meanwhile, in the UK, a bill to create a digital ID for children has only one reading in Parliament left to pass. This is coming from Exposé News. And they said, you know, it's kind of interesting, because they're getting a lot of pushback from adults, so they're going to go to children. But the thing that is most interesting and most insightful about this article is that the they've got an age of 13. And they said, so the justification that they have for this digital ID, and I played you the clip that the globalists put together for Ukraine. Ukraine 2030, the war is over. And we've now won, and things are going to be much better, because look at all these different things where government intrudes into your life. Well, it's going to be easier to deal with the government because you've got an app for that now. And so you don't have to try to keep track of your physical paper and all the rest of the stuff. It's like, hey, just get the government out of my life. I don't want the DMV to start with. You know, I don't want a digital ID to do that, or taxes.
Wouldn't it be great if the DMV could be with you everywhere you went?
That's right. Or, you know, hey, you got the IRS here, and it's not enough that you pay taxes and you fill out the forms for them. Now you got to get a digital ID, or they won't work with you at all. They'll just send you to jail for not paying your taxes, that type of thing. So that's the way they're justifying this. So they said, to understand the government's latest moves in the UK to hoodwink the public into accepting their enslavement and the enslavement of their children, we got to start with why they say that we need to have digital IDs there. They said digital IDs are required to, quote, make it easier to use vital government services and to send a clear message that if you come to the UK illegally, you will not be able to work. Well, of course, we understand that it's the UK government that has been facilitating this immigration. And so to make it easier to use government services, no, they're not actually serving you. They're kind of serving you in the same way that a bull services a cow. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead and play that. That's good.
We know the government is looking at digital ID cards at the moment. How would that help prevent the situation that we're in now?
Well, Keir Starmer, our Prime Minister, has said we are looking at what other countries have done to bring a sort of digital accreditation. I think there's real actually benefits right across here from obviously dealing with illegal working.
Seems like satire.
Imagine if your viewers imagine that they had one credential that would allow them to access all the different government services and our public services do. I'm sure many of your viewers often tear their hair out with all the different numbers and passwords of the different bits of government that they have to deal with. And I do
actually, the regulations and taxes are even worse.
Benefit here,
but you're not going to cut them, are you?
Are here and working legally and accessing our.
We've made the system completely unbearable, haven't we?
One route in. As well as the benefits it could have with illegal migration. We're looking at that. I think it is an interesting idea that other countries have taken forward, and we want to learn from what they've done.
Yeah, yeah, it's a globalist agenda is what she's saying with all that. And, of course, and the way that they love to skirt the truth, and they say, well, it won't be compulsory to get a digital ID, but for some things like dealing with the government, which you can't avoid, it will be mandatory. So therefore, it will be mandatory to get it.
won't be compulsory to get it, but this will prevent any illegals from working or living in here if they don't have it.
Yeah,
because you will absolutely need it to work or live.
Yeah, yeah. It's over time, the system will allow people to access government services such as benefits or tax records. And this is exactly the same strategy that was followed by Bill Gates in India with the Aadhaar system they put together. And one of the ways that that works in terms of benefits is you have to impoverish the people to where they are desperate. They need money. They need health care and things like that because they can't provide it on their own. Well, they're getting to that point in Europe, in the UK. The implied voluntary nature is a psychological tactic that has been used over and over again. What is the aim of this flowery language? It's so that people don't resist the legislation or perhaps even view it as beneficial. It will be made compulsory. But here's what should raise red flags. This is what I liked about this article. They said, is the consideration to include children 13 years and older. Parliament claims a digital ID is for public services, to start a new job, or, for example, to buy alcohol. And they said, well, yeah, the thing is, none of those things are done by 13-year-olds. So why do you need to get a 13-year-old an ID to buy alcohol or drive a car or whatever?
Plus, don't they already have things in place to prevent 13-year-olds from driving cars, buying alcohol, and getting jobs?
You would think
that that's, you already have to show ID of some form. This is just, let's get one ID so that everything can be surveilled under it.
Well, yeah, they just don't want you carrying a wallet that has physical cards in it or something like that. They want you carrying a smartphone because that provides them a lot more surveillance, geospatial intelligence, and so forth as well. So they just put it all in there, one smart idea to rule them all. So why not be honest and lower the age to include babies from the time they're born? It's because other legislation that's currently being pushed through Parliament will control those who are under 13 years old. Within a decade, every newborn will undergo whole genome sequencing, said the UK Telegraph. They're gradually and incrementally implementing a cradle-to-grave identity surveillance and control system for every single person using digital identities and DNA that they collect at the very beginning. So, Free Thought Project has this article from Off Guardian, also in the UK. And the guy says, wait a minute, something is off here. And I love the contrarian thinking because he's looking at this and saying, there's been so much pushback against this that maybe this is a setup. He said, it's kind of like when you are watching a murder mystery, right? And everything is falling into place so precisely. It's almost like they've set this whole thing up to happen that way. And you know that there's another shoe that's going to drop and that this whole thing was a pretense. He goes, the official announcement is possibly the least surprising news that there's ever been. And he says, and yet suddenly I find myself doubting the sincerity. And let me explain. And then he talks about the mystery, the murder mystery, whatever. About halfway through, you start to doubt to yourself. Wait a minute, there's just too much evidence here. The movie seems to be making it too obvious. The main characters are openly accusing your chosen suspect, and there's still an hour left. So you start asking, is he the fake-out villain? Will the twist be that he was wrongly accused? He says, I'm seeing resistance from quarters that I wouldn't expect, and I'm suddenly questioning the narrative because of that. He says, I remember COVID. I remember that COVID skeptics could barely get likes on Twitter, let alone get to go to question time in the Parliament or write columns for the Telegraph or the Guardian. I know what it looks like when an agenda is being sold hard and no opposition is allowed. It doesn't look like this. Members of Parliament are opposing it from every single party, including Labour. Labour mayors are likewise against it. Every single party in Northern Ireland is against it as well, with the First Minister calling it the ill-thought-out and ludicrous. Labour ministers and Keir Starmer himself are being challenged in TV interviews with pertinent and reasonable questions. That never happens unless someone powerful wants it to happen. It can't happen by accident because interviews are discussed and questions are vetted beforehand. A petition against the plan allegedly gained over 1 million signatures in 24 hours. Somebody and created this 30-foot-tall sand art of Sir Keir Starmer on the beach, and the police were dispatched to remove it. Yeah, it was very impressive. It was Orwellian, and very impressive artwork on the beach, and they moved right away to give that a lot of exposure. He says, I'm surprised by the players that are on my team, and it makes me wonder if the rules of the game have been changed. Maybe there is a bait and switch coming. It might be the reaction to digital ID will be such a defeat for Starmer that he resigns, perhaps causing a new general election, leading to a reform win, and Nigel Farage as prime minister. That seemed crazy a few years ago, but I can't shake the idea now. That would help to get them to restore confidence in the institutions, wouldn't it? You know, you put Nigel Farage and reform in, and people are like, oh, that's good. We, you know, it's just like Trump getting in. Now we're safe. We don't really have to watch government. We don't have to worry about what they're doing. That's the way this is done with conservatives and others. And we've seen Farage, who I really liked in years past. We've seen him compromise on many different things recently. So he could be their guy. It might be that Starmer immediately scraps the plan. And this is held up as an example of him listening to the will of the people and the system working. And so he says, but and so strengthens him. Both of these possibilities account for the headlines hammering home Herr Starmer's apparently cratering approval rating. It's also possible that the UK will be used as a control group on digital ID. Those criticizing or blocking it will be shown up and embarrassed somehow. Maybe a terrorist attack will take place that could have been prevented if we'd only had digital ID. Or the next pandemic or some other global event will be shown to have done less harm in countries that had digital ID in place and were therefore able to respond more effectively. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. This guy's spot on. Or similarly to Brexit, the UK's lack of a digital ID will see us fall behind in contrived economic metrics of some kind that are then in turn used to excuse our deliberately sabotaged cost of living. However it unfolds, it just feels like there is too much opposition, too much broadcast, and too much mainstream opposition for this to proceed along the prescribed lines. There is something coming. Some wrinkle is coming. But whatever does happen, I should be clear about three things. Number one, digital ID is still going to happen. A digital ID system is foundational for the Great Reset world. Plans for digital currency and 15-minute cities and all the rest of it rely on the keystone of digital ID. They already exist in many countries around the world and will exist in dozens more.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With access to cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Or by the end of next year. Number two, digital ID is still a very bad thing. This is not me flipping sides or going pro-digital ID just because I don't like agreeing with Owen Jones, whoever that is. Not even I am that much of a contrarian. And number three, we are still winning. He says, this is not a black pill take. I'm not suggesting that all resistance to digital ID is fake and that we can't win. The opposite, in fact. If I'm right, what we're seeing is a response to widespread opposition, a move designed to harness and then to redirect the momentum of organic resistance. So his, like you say, it's not a black pill take. What he thinks is happening is that there really is resistances. People really understand what it is. And so they're trying to figure out how they can get behind it so they can move it in a different direction. That's what I'm warning against, I suppose, the possibility that we could be handed a quote-unquote win on digital ID that is immediately parlayed into something else to slingshot around the moon and then back down to Earth. Like when you're pushing against a foe who's pushing back, and then they suddenly stop, and you find yourself pushing against nothing, and your apparent sudden victory destroys your control. You have to be aware of that, even as you push. And he says, remember the Battle of Hastings. Harold and his Saxons had the high ground, and they were holding firm, when a dozen Norman charges couldn't punch through. But when the Normans feigned a retreat, the Saxons, filled with the unexamined joy of victory, gave chase and abandoned the tactics and the position that had been winning them the battle. And then they lost the battle. In short, the Saxons were winning until they were sure that they had won. So I guess what I'm saying is, stay on the high ground, keep the shield walled up, even if they retreat, because I just don't trust it. I think it's very sage advice, and we need to think about that in many different areas. Joe Rogan is raging.
Keir Starmer beach art thing. So here's a picture of it, and here are the cops looking at it.
Yeah, that's right. And look at that picture. Scroll up again. Look at that. So it says 1984, but the 8 is actually Keir Starmer as kind of a bust picture of him, so that his shoulders are the lower part of the 8, and his head is the upper part of it. So yeah, it is 1984, isn't it?
Keir Starmer is a bust indeed.
Yeah, Hair Starmer, I think, is a better way to. Rogan.
Here's the petition for removing the digital ID, which every time there's one of these unpopular things, you see one of these petitions pop up, and the response from the government saying, "Yeah, we're going to ignore that." They have a thing in the UK.
Well, that's like what they do here with our regulatory agencies, right? Congress doesn't write the laws; they tell the regulatory agencies that are unconstitutional in and of themselves, you write the rules. And then they put it out for a comment period from the public. They don't care what you comment on. You have no control over that. They might listen to some of the industry executives because the corporations have bought a seat at the table with them. But you don't have a voice in any of this stuff. And you don't have any representation because you're a representative that have been elected, even though the elections are rigged. You're theoretically representatives. They still call them representatives. I don't see any of these people that represent me. But anyway, they're not even pretending to play anymore. And when it all goes wrong, they can come in and act as the white knight who's going to save everybody from these bad regulatory agencies and overturn it. That's the game. Yeah, you can comment on what they do, but it's not going to change anything. So Joe Rogan is raging at media silence, what he calls the UK's Orwellian nightmare. Sure is, a free speech crackdown. As a matter of fact, we have seen people arrested, as I pointed out, for silently praying. The grandmother who was arrested, she had a sign in an abortion clinic, said, "I'm here to talk if you want. I'm not here to coerce anybody."
Guilty of offering to talk to someone about abortion.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're guilty of trying to talk to someone, offering to talk to someone about abortion. You're not screaming at them. She's standing there silently with a sign. You want to talk about your circumstances? I'm here to talk if you want. No, that's not allowed. So Joe Rogan has blasted the media and the leftists for ignoring a massive crackdown on free speech and a move toward total dystopian surveillance in the UK while focusing instead on Jimmy Kimmel being suspended for a few days. He said, "This is an Orwellian nightmare coming to life right in front of our face." And of course, they work in each of these countries. They are refining their tactics because this is a unified global approach, just like the pandemic was and the pandemic lockdown and the vaccine passes and all the rest of this stuff. You're seeing a complete total attack on one of the most fundamental principles of the Western world, which is the ability to express yourself, said Rogan. He said 12,000 people arrested by the police in the UK, the same place that just implemented digital ID. No one is flinching. No one in America is freaking out about what's happening in the UK at all. Well, J.D. Vance went to the UK, and he freaked out about it. And then he came back and did it himself, pushed it himself. Yeah, we don't want anybody protesting against what a foreign country, Israel, is doing. So let's punish the universities if they allow that to happen. It's all predicated on the back of out of control mass illegal immigration, here as there, with the leftists using the crisis created by the previous conservative government and amplified by Herr Starmer's cabal in an attempt to roll out Orwellian-style surveillance and control. That's exactly what it is. So it is really an unforced error that is part of this. But you got to wonder when you look at Trump and how he has handled or mishandled so much of this stuff, whether it's the military meeting that they set up or the Jeffrey Epstein documents. This is an interesting back and forth between a congresswoman and who was a Democrat and Mike Johnson. Listen to what she has to say about Trump. She calls him unhinged, and Mike Johnson agrees.
The president is unhinged. He is unwell. What
a lot
are you
of
doing?
Folks on your side are too. I don't compete.
That performance in front of the generals. That
I didn't see it.
Is so dangerous.
He doesn't disagree. He says, "Well, a lot of people on your side are well."
It's going around.
That kind of reminds me of the thing with Madeleine Albright. You know, are you are you upset about the fact that you killed a 500,000 kids with your sanctions? Oh, it was worth it, she said. You know, so here he is. Trump is unhinged and he's unwell. Yeah, well, a lot of people on your side are too.
Y'all aren't very hinged either.
Yeah, that's right. So Salon, which is anti-Trump, of course, the writer argued that a deep and destabilizing fissure has opened within the Trump administration over how to control the narrative about the pedophiles and Jeffrey Epstein. She noted that while the White House has tried to project unified silence or denial that the Epstein files even exist, recent statements from within Trump's orbit expose the narrative as fractured. Primarily this interview that was done with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who described Epstein as the, quote, greatest blackmailer ever. In that same interview, Lutnick claimed of Epstein's approach toward his associates, he'd tell them, get a massage. And then what happened in that massage room, I assume, was on video. So in both this case of Lutnick and Mike Johnson, these people are trying to be sycophants to Trump. Eventually, the truth leaks out in a kind of inadvertent way, doesn't it? Those remarks from a cabinet official closely tied to Trump represent a direct break from earlier public denials that any compromising material or client list existed. And, you know, they own it now, say that there wasn't anybody that was being blackmailed. And Lutnick said, well, you know, obviously we know that he's blackmailing people. And we know he was doing it for intelligence agencies. Mossad, CIA, so forth, if there is much space between those two, I don't know. Lutnick made a complete unforced error with his revelation. Wired magazine told NBC News, and as a sitting cabinet official and the former neighbor of Epstein, he lived right next door to Jeffrey Epstein in New York City. The secretary's story places him at odds with the public posture of the Department of Justice and FBI officials. It seemingly backs up Attorney General Pam Bondi's initial claim of an Epstein client list, while simultaneously undermining FBI Director Kash Patel's conflicting testimony that no credible evidence of blackmail or client list exists. Well, Lutnick evidently knows that's not true, and you know that's not true, and you know that they're all liars. All these people trying to excuse this. Lutnick's interview presents a significant narrative jolt because it comes from inside the Trump orbit and directly conflicts with the administration's public claims about the Epstein files. Lutnick's comments make it clear that the Trump-Epstein connections will not be going away anytime soon. That's right. And again, Mike Johnson can delay this stuff, but he can't hide the truth forever. It will come out. He's delaying the seating of this new Democrat congresswoman who is obviously going to move to release this. They have the votes with that one special election that just happened. And Mike Johnson is still playing games. I mean, he shut down. Congress is going to be off for all the month of August anyway. He gave them an extra week so that they couldn't run this vote and get people on record, either guarding the pedophiles or else coming after them. And now he's still trying to delay it a couple more days by trying to wait to seat this representative so they can't have this vote to discharge this this motion to release all these different papers.
So, it's truly amazing the lengths they're willing to go to for this, the obviousness of it.
Yeah.
They're very rarely this in your face about it.
Yeah, that's right. And so you got to ask yourself,
how bad must it
it's
be?
It's got really bad. The political cost that Trump and the GOP is willing to incur on this, it has to be hugely damaging, because otherwise it would make absolutely no sense for them to do this. This isn't just awkwardly done. This is premeditated, and it is a hard stop on all this stuff that he had promised to show. That was one of the things that he was going to show. Remember, he was going to shut down all the pedophile rings and all the rest of this stuff. So,
what's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With access to cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Yeah, it is another one of those moments, just like Albert Bourla, where maybe the MAGA people might figure out, wait a minute, is he the bad guy? You know, just like that British comedy routine.
Are we the baddies?
Hans, are we the baddies? We've got skulls on our uniforms. Are these the bad guys? That they've got the pedophiles on their side. Huh. So, you know, as we're talking about the First Amendment, we got some Muslims who have a different take on that, don't they, Travis?
Yeah. Their understanding of the First Amendment doesn't exactly jive with the actual First Amendment. They thought that the First Amendment allows them to commit vandalism.
Yeah, and arson.
Yeah, so apparently the First Amendment to them means I get to destroy your stuff and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right.
But this happened in Texas. It was a church in Euless, Texas, where they went and they decided that they were going to put an expletive on their sign because they don't like Israel. The church had a Israeli flag flying, so they decided to spray paint F Israel on their sign instead.
And I don't get the church showing a flying flag, you know, of a foreign country. And
I don't even think you should be flying an American flag at the church.
I know. I went to a church one time and it was Veterans Day. And so they did a couple of worship songs, and then they start doing every branch of the service. This is a big church, and they had an orchestra and stuff. And so they start recognizing each one of the branches, and so they have anchors away from the Navy. If you're Navy, stand up and come up here. We want to, you know, come up on stage, blah, blah, blah. And they go to the Army, caissons go rolling along, and so forth. You know, every branch of the military. And I just got up and walked out. It's like, I'm not here to worship the damn government. And if you are, then we're not in church. And that goes double for any foreign government that is out there that is committing genocide. And you've got 40% of American Jews now say that what's happening in Israel is genocide. It is. You can't avoid it. And so I don't understand that with the church. They should be upholding Christ, not a foreign political organization. But the Muslims, just last week, Travis, we had the story that you had some guy who had, he was in front of, what was it, the Turkish embassy or something. He had, he was descended from Kurds as well as from Armenians. So
I thought you were going to say way.
Well, it was, they had a way with them. They had a genocide with them. And so both of these ethnic groups have been attacked by the Muslim Turks. And so he was protesting at the Turkish embassy in the UK. And he wasn't even burning a Quran, But this guy comes up to him and stabs him, and then two other Muslims ran up and start kicking him on the ground, and the judge said it was all justified. So I can understand these guys would think that if they see a sign that they don't like on a church, then they're justified to destroy the church building as well as maybe burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the judge disagreed.
I mean, that's much less harmful than stabbing someone. If that's free speech to stab someone, then surely burning their church down.
Well, you have to understand they were severely provoked, I believe, is how the judge phrased it.
I understand you are severely provoked.
You poor man.
You're such an upstanding citizen.
And, of course, this is the results of our horrendous foreign policy and the results of our horrendous immigration policy coming home to roost. Either one of these on their own would be bad enough, but together they result in a nightmare scenario. We export violence and destruction across the globe, and then we allow any group from these places we have destroyed to come back into our country, and they bear grudges, and they rightfully bear grudges against us. This is just a terrible, terrible scenario. Diversity is not our
I thought the penalty was interesting, too, because the government gives them a $10,000 fine. That goes to the government. The church they damaged got $1,700. This is another thing that's always been a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, government,
about the,
against you and you alone have I sinned.
Yeah, against the system of justice that we have here. You know, in Mosaic law, you didn't pay a fine to the state or to Moses or whatever. You know, you paid restitution to the victim. Why is it that we don't have victim restitution? In many cases, the victims get zero, and they levy a fine that the government gets the money.
Yeah.
So here, you know, the government gets more than five times as much as the people who were harmed by this.
Yeah, the victim has the crime committed against them, and they're wrapped up in a court case for who knows how long.
That's right.
So and a court case is never a fun thing, even if you win. It's a miserable experience.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sure you've all heard the saying, but I've heard it all my life. You don't take someone to court to, you know, get justice. Generally, it's, you know, because it's going to be good for you. You do it because, you know, it's the right thing to do. You feel strongly about it. You're not going to get a giant judgment. You're not going to get paid out of it. You're going to be miserable the entire time. Yeah. It is something that
you're not going to get justice or compensation.
No.
You're just trying to punish the other person, and you wind up punishing yourself as well.
Now, we also have a tech billionaire, of course, defending the massive H-1B labor pipeline, because that's all the tech billionaires do.
Mm-hmm.
He's warning that Trump's reforms will backfire. Mm-hmm. And I'm continually sick of this rhetoric, because they act like, well, Americans are stupid. They don't know how to do this.
Remember when Musk and Vivek the Snake were talking about that, the two of them were in total agreement.
We need these immigrants.
Yeah, these Americans are nothing. It's like, yeah, well, what about the country that you came from? You're so great. Why isn't it a better country?
Mm-hmm. Right? It's also important to point out that it's generally Americans that built all these systems.
Yeah.
Whether it's the internet or just about everything that modern people enjoy, it's Americans or generally Europeans, some of these countries. People are not interchangeable. They are not just, you know, this is an economic zone where you can just, you know, pull out all the parts and put in new ones and it'll be the same. Mm-hmm. People groups want different things and they achieve different things differently. If everyone was exactly the same, everyone would have invented the car and the airplane at the exact same time, but they didn't because people groups achieve different things.
Yeah, different cultures. Yeah. Different culture will have a different approach to it. Yeah. And it also is one of these things. It was a big deal when I first started working in engineering. There was a book that went around called The Mythical Man Month. And so they would always talk about projects when they're speccing this stuff out. How many man months is this going to take us? Oh, well, it's going to take a couple of years with the personnel we've got here. We'll hire a bunch more people. And it's like, that doesn't necessarily help. Because, again, you've got a corporate culture, just like you're talking about in general, the culture in the U.S. So you've got this corporate culture. The people got to come in. They got to get assimilated into this project, into this culture. They got to get up to speed. And there's a lot of other things. There's the overhead involved if you've got a larger group of people that you've got to move around. So the whole idea that you're going to be able to measure this stuff in terms of man months needed was just a fallacy. And it's the same type of thing that's really coming from the H-1B visa. We need more bodies in here, and they're not looking qualitatively at who they're hiring, are they?
No, and you can see this in every sector. What has gotten better in technology since the 90s when the H-1B visa stuff really kicked off, when it kicked into high gear? Can you name anything? We've got more technology, but it's not better. The user interfaces on programs have gotten worse. The capabilities of them have gotten worse. I encounter more bugs than I ever did before.
We've got an article coming up, the guy who coined the term enshittification. Which is, you know, when you look at this, it's like, why doesn't the phone, why is it working more poorly than it did before? The user interface is worse and all this kind of, and it's happening across the board. Mm-hmm. And it's, as this technology ages,
it's everywhere in every aspect. Whether you're importing, I mean, it's not even necessarily that you're importing H-1B workers. It could be as simple as the DEI policies. You can see it in things as meaningless as video games. Mm-hmm. There was a massive push over the last decade to bring in more, you know, queer gamers of color. And the games are horrendous. They cannot make good games anymore. They are physically incapable of doing it. And it just gets worse and worse. You can see it in every aspect of life that these policies simply result in worse outcomes for everyone.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that really was like rubbing salt in the wound was this billionaire whose name is Moritz. And of course, he's highly connected to Trump, his donor, and the rest of this stuff. He reinforced his point by saying, warehouse workers, account managers, brand specialists, and dishwashers are the kind of jobs that Americans hold. And so what he's saying is that they want the foreign workers to come in and take the jobs as biochemists, software engineers, and other high-skill positions, while Americans are concentrated in lower-level work. You know, that's a job for you. You're an American. You need to be a dishwasher. We're going to bring this guy in to be the CEO of Google. Mm-hmm. You know,
so. Yeah, and of course, part of that is also that when you bring someone in from the outside, they have no loyalty to the country. They have a loyalty to the person paying their salary. They're not going to question what you ask them to do. They're not going to sit there and think, is this something that will benefit the country? Is this something that is good for people? They're going to sit there and think, this guy is paying me $1 million or more a year. Whatever he wants, he gets.
But I think you find that with Americans as well. You know, I've seen this over and over again. What people do for a job. I mean, we're just talking about the police, you know, that same kind of attitude is there in engineering as well. They'll look at it and they'll say, you know, okay, so we're developing a weapon system here that's going to be used against civilians and all this kind of, but that's okay because it's a tech problem and I'm getting paid a lot of money, so I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I think you will see this in the general populace, but there may be a consideration of, well, you know, do I want to live in a country like this? Whereas this person, they have no loyalty at all. There's not even going to be a consideration.
You'll occasionally have a whistleblower, you know. But if somebody has no interest at all in the country, you know, it's like, well, that's fine. And, of course, the British Empire knew that. That's why they came in and they would put, like in India, for example, the top of the bureaucratic structure that would rule India from the British Empire, those would all be Brits, right? Mm-hmm. But then they would fill the entire civil service on down with fellow Indians so that that would tamp down resistance.
Oh, see, look, you're represented in government. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So, well, the other thing, too, is a qualitative issue. Moritz claims that undergraduate degrees from Eastern Europe, Turkey, and India are, quote, every bit as qualified, unquote, as American degrees. And WND writes, that does not stand up to global data. In the OS World University Rankings of 2026, U.S. institutions dominate the top tier. MIT is ranked number one for 13th consecutive year, and over 40 U.S. universities are in the top 200. By contrast,
you know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Best the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash.
by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
India's highest ranked school, IIT Delhi, sits at spot number 123. Most Indian universities fall much lower.
I've also commented on this before, but India has a massive problem with degree mills, mm-hmm. where basically you pay, you know, $1,500 and they just manufacture a degree.
That's
There's
right.
all kinds of fake universities, and this is a major problem.
And that would explain why they said studies show that Indian engineering graduates, approximately 94% of them, lack the skills required for employment, with only 4.77% able to complete a basic programming task. So there you go.
They
you
engage know. In this sort of thing where they get the fake degree, and then wherever they get hired, they start trying to learn as much as they can on the job. Well, I need to do this. Well, I'll watch some YouTube tutorials on it, and I'm sure I can fake my way through it.
Fake it till you make it.
Yes. Which does not, you know, there are certain jobs where I'm sure that's possible. They're not extremely complex, things you can learn as you go. I don't want engineers doing that. I would prefer if the guy, whether it's an electrical engineer or a civil engineer building a bridge, I'd prefer if you knew what you were doing before you got there.
That's right. So, you know, again, the U.S. has 7 of the top 10 universities worldwide. India's best performer is ranked in the 201 to 250 band, with the majority of them falling below 600. So there's 599 other universities that have a better
record. I also want to make it clear, I know I pick on India a lot. I don't have a problem with Indians specifically. Mm-hmm. I think if they want their culture, however they want their culture, they're entitled to have it.
Well, I have a problem with the government that's doing that. You know, and Mexico is doing the same thing as well. They want that those payments sent back. So the government is aiding and abetting this.
It's actually, we covered this, but that's
it's reverse colonization.
It's a specific part of India's economic plan to export their workers to other places and have them send millions, billions of dollars back.
That's right.
Again, I think whatever culture India wants, Indians are entitled to their own culture. If China wants a different culture, they're entitled to that. I don't want to export American culture to everyone. I think different people groups, as I've said before, deserve to be governed how they want to be governed.
Unless we need to destroy their country and rebuild it in our image, right?
A little false flag here, a little coup there, a little color revolution from time to time.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we already mentioned this briefly, but Amazon is deleting the...
Yeah, pull that picture up, Lance. It's, there you go. There's a couple of Bond posters. They got their arms crossed and they're holding it up there, and instead of having a...
his pistol.
Walther PPK. Usually, though, it's like a Luger.
It's I believe the newer ones, it's a Walther PPK, and the older ones, I believe it was a Luger of some kind.
You know, it's
I'm
kind
not
of
a Bond
interesting.
Expert.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the logo, see, there's GoldenEye and Dr. No. And if you look at the logo underneath it, 007, and they use the 7 as a gun. So they couldn't get it out everywhere. And the whole point is that this is a spy who has a license to kill. I mean, the whole point was that they were trying to legitimize and romanticize assassinations and things like that. But
well, he has a license to kill, but does he have a license to carry?
Oh, you got a license for that.
That's a good point, Lance. Does he have a license to carry? Yeah, it's, of course, and this is insanity from Jeff Bezos and Amazon because they bought... MGM Studios.
It reminds me of when all the tech companies went in and removed the gun emojis from the smartphones, because that was what was causing all the shootings, of course. That's what the problem was. They replaced them with squirt guns and ray guns and different things like that.
And now with the Zionist takeover of TikTok, they you were just telling me, Lance, that they removed one of the emojis off of TikTok, too, right? They had people who were if they wanted to refer to Jews, they had a juice box. And so now they have removed the juice box emoji. These think that they can control speech. They just don't get it.
No matter what you do, people will find way around it.
So Amazon bought MGM for $8.5 billion. Wow. So now they're going to run this franchise into the ground. We'll see what they do with
it. Briefly mentioned it, but just... Mm-hmm. Every single franchise gets worse and worse. It's just absolutely incredible. I was never that big of a Star Wars fan. I liked the original three movies, I think they're good, but I wasn't around when they were coming out, so they didn't have that massive cultural zeitgeist impact on me. I just thought they were good movies.
I liked the first one a lot. Second one, meh. And then the third one is like, no. The Ewoks and all the rest of
that. Yeah, I've never liked the Ewoks. Every time the Ewoks show up on screen, it's like, come on, Stormtroopers, you can do it.
What is he thinking, you know? I mean, it was obviously kids in costumes or something. It was a...
I have always hated the Ewoks. I have an innate response to when someone is trying to put something cute in front of me to dislike it. I like children. I like kids. But this corporate idea of just, oh, look, it's Baby Yoda. I want to punt Baby Yoda into the stratosphere.
Yeah,
get that thing away from me.
And the execution was inexcusably bad. I mean, yeah. It was like the monkeys in 2001 who you can see the zippers on the back. Suits, you know, sometimes, and there's just no excuse.
George Lucas, kind of people have pointed out, he needs someone to tell him no. He needs someone standing there to be like, you know, George, maybe not.
Yeah.
You could see it.
Just like Trump.
Yeah. You could see it. He lost it completely with the prequels. He had no one there that could tell him no, because he was George Lucas, and he got to do whatever he wanted. And the prequels, I love the prequels just because of the time they came out. I was young. I've got a lot of nostalgia for them. They're not good movies, though. There's a million video essays that have explained what's wrong with them.
Well, they're great when you compare them to the newer stuff.
Oh, yeah. Comparatively to the new trilogies and movies, they're fantastic. But they're still not good. They don't stand on their own.
Yeah, that's right. And then we got Scott Pressler.
Before we move on to the next story, I wanted to point out there's one of these posters where they left his holster, but removed the gun like Sheriff Woody.
They Woodied him!
Yeah, Sheriff Woody. Yeah, that was always a sticking point with us with Toy Story, as much as we love Toy Story. The fact that he had an empty holster, and they even made fun of that draw, you know, when he does it with the Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, you got me.
But, because I went to great lengths to get Western guns for you guys. It wasn't easy to find them. Even in the early 90s, it wasn't easy to find guns like that. So, yeah.
Everyone loves a six shooter.
That's right.
I would love a Colt single action army just for the historicity of it, historicalness of it. But those are...
Some people would get hysterical if you had one.
They are ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Not going to...
Well, we got one with no firing pin that I put in your room when you were a kid. Anyway, the...
you were saying Scott Pressler.
Scott Pressler. You talk about losing the plot. This is as bad... The GOP is as bad as Amazon when it comes to this. Scott Pressler is a raving homosexual that the GOP wants to use him as an activist everywhere. And he's now saying the biggest hurdle is getting Republicans to vote in every election. We need big, beautiful turnout, he said.
I was amazed by this. I didn't realize the key to winning was getting more votes than the other guy. This is unheard of game theory. This guy's breaking new ground.
Well, he talks about how there are 30% of Pennsylvanian hunters are not registered to vote. And I'm sure that sending them a homosexual shoulder length hair is going to motivate these guys to vote GOP, don't you think? That along with the Epstein files, that should do it. I'm sure they can't
wait. Come to the GOP. We've got pedophiles. We've got homosexuals. Now what? In a few years, we'll be transing your kids, too.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how it goes.
This is Big Tent GOP, guarding our pedophiles. And this is always my criticism of Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. He would do the same thing. Not with Scott Pressler necessary, but here's Breitbart News doing an interview with this guy, Scott Pressler. And, you know, you had Charlie Kirk with the culture war, and he had another guy. It was a black guy, and it wasn't just one event. This guy was part of their speaker crew, and he was on their website the entire time. And, so, you know, people challenged him, said, exactly how does it help us to win the culture war or spiritual war when you are making a virtue out of having somebody here because they're homosexual? You're showing how open and how big the tent is of GOP politics. And again, you want to make this about politics instead of about family values. That's what you do. And so this is, they're keying this up to lose.
And It couldn't happen to a nicer group of people at this point. The
real question is,
what does it matter? If this is what the GOP achieves, who cares? Doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
I have no interest in electing a group of slightly less Democrat Democrats. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils, especially not when they're so, so slightly less evil.
Well, the thing is, for me, as I've said many times, and this is another example of it, the Republicans are more Democrat than Democrats of my youth, right?
I mean, everything that everyone has gone insane over the last decade.
And the Democrats have turned into full-on Marxists.
Yes, so. It's you'll hear them say just have being moderate. A moderate Republican of today, not of 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is a fascist, which is. I mean, some of them maybe, but it's utterly ridiculous in the fact that you'll have these, your standard Christian Republican that is, as a general rule, far too soft on everything, in my opinion, and they are considered, this abhorrent fascist monster.
Yeah. So a good article from J.D. Hall, and he said cowardice. And he said cowardice is actually called out at the end of Revelation as one of the besetting sins. And he goes, I think it is. What characterizes the Christians in America today is a cowardice, because you don't want to take things on head on. You know what? I have no, I don't play this game of lesser two evils. I'm done with these evil people, both parties. I have no interest in either one of them. They need to be opposed. They need to not be supported for any reason, not even as a pullback. That's the way I feel. And if we do that enough, perhaps we would be able to find other solutions outside the political sphere.
Yeah. And of course, as you pointed out, there is no hope in Washington. The amount of money it takes to make a run at anything that will land you in Washington is an astronomical sum.
Mm-hmm.
The general population is not going to make an impact there, but you can make an impact in your local elections. You can find out who is running and who actually may represent your interests.
Yeah.
There
and then they get swamped by out-of-state money.
Yeah, like we had here with Frank Nicely, who again, he passed away recently this year. He was probably the best politician we.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Best the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
He had in the United States, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
And he worked very, very hard for the people of Tennessee.
Yeah.
He's
a solid guy.
Yeah, solid guy. And his family is very, very nice. They're wonderful people, and I'm so sorry for their loss. So if you have someone like Frank Nicely, and they're few and far between, do what you can to keep them in there, because they're needed more than ever at the local level.
And he was not just a straight up guy, but he also knew how these guys played the game too. You know, he knew that when he was going to go against them, one of the things as a farmer, he knew what they were doing in terms of chicken. He said they'd load them up with arsenic to make them gain weight, because then they'd sell the chicken by the weight. And so he said he tried to expose that, and he told me some of the things that they did to him when he tried to expose that. His downfall, I think, was trying to stop out-of-state money. And these other politicians there in the state legislature, they're getting their bread buttered that way. So that bill did not pass.
You don't mess with
out-of-state money got him out.
Yeah.
So they put up an avatar for them.
Yeah, whatever that guy's name is, he's completely
I've never seen a race where somebody put up a website. They tell you zero about what he does for a living now. They tell you zero about his history, nothing about his family. You know, usually that's where
they
start.
He sure is a warm body, isn't he, folks?
Usually they get a story about how, you know, what they've been doing and how that uniquely qualifies them to be your representative or something. This guy was just anonymous, practically.
He had never done anything. He'd never appeared in the public eye before, and then all of a sudden, the Walmart heiress is granting him millions of dollars.
He had no policies, and he had no background. This guy's just put in place, and he was running the most dishonest shill campaign I've ever seen. But anyway, enough about Frank.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see that happen here. Yeah. I had really high hopes.
We have another article here. Have we passed peak social media? And I thought this was an interesting article, and I was excited reading it. But they bury the lead, so I'm going to clue you in before you guys get too excited. They said social media usage has gone down. It's gone down across the board. It's going down until you get to the very bottom. They say, well, not in North America. So to me,
we still haven't caught on.
As a North American, this article is just like, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Aw, man, really? Darn it. But they're saying across the board that in general, social media usage has gone down. Not in North America, though, of course. People are becoming tired of it. And I think, personally, though, they're being a little bit too optimistic. Things tend to be cyclical. Mm-hmm. What becomes old, people get tired of. You know, kids love to look at the previous generation or the previous generations and go, oh, everything they liked is lame. I hate whatever they liked. You guys were on Facebook. Facebook is lame. You guys were on Instagram. Instagram is lame. They're right, but they're simply doing it because they like to despise previous generations. They don't want to like whatever anyone else has liked before them.
Whatever the newest fad is.
Yeah. So
the problems become obvious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look what happened with them. And also, I'm sure you've all seen it, but Gen Alpha has largely just been turned over to iPads. It's kind of a meme at this point, but there are entire... Just there is a huge portion of Generation Alpha that has just been handed an iPad since they could sort of function to keep them entertained so the parents don't have to deal with them. And you'll see it when you go out, just, you know, a mom pushing a kid in a cart and he's just got an iPad in front of him. He's So maybe they're not on social media as we think of social media. Maybe they're not on Twitter or Facebook, but they are just as addicted and obsessed to technology, maybe even more so.
Yeah.
Because at least, you know, the previous generations, maybe they didn't have a smartphone or a tablet in their hand from the time they could hold it. You know, the millennials have their problems. I will freely admit the millennials are whiny, entitled, annoying, pretentious. All those things are true. But at least we got to experience the world before the smartphone took it over, before, you know, the iPad was ubiquitous.
And got a taste of reality.
Yeah, and that's no fault of the Zoomers or Generation Alpha. That is a fault of the people that are raising them.
Yeah.
So while this article seems to be painting hopeful trends, I'm still skeptical. I'm always skeptical when people are like, well, you know, I think people are turning around on technology. Technology advances eternally. It's forever incorporated further and further into our lives.
Yeah.
And you have to make specific effort to remove it. It doesn't just simply get up and walk away.
Yeah, and we got something coming up about an ad campaign from the dictionary people, Merriam-Webster. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But anyway, the next article, pull this up, Lance, and show people. I love the graphic that they did for this Zero Hedge article. They said dating app fatigue is emerging, and they show a picture of a frowning, angry Greta right there, and it's like, I guess you would want to swipe right or left. I don't know which one is the rejection. Keep looking. You don't want to go on a date with her.
I do feel somewhat bad for Greta Thunberg because she was a child and obviously used by these people.
Yeah.
And I tend to believe there is something mentally wrong with her. She's not all there. Just to have the entire world focused on you this way. You know,
I guess if you swipe in the direction that's going to do a reject, I don't know which direction that is, but you probably hear a canned thing, how dare you?
I feel bad for her. She bears responsibility for her own actions now that she's an adult, but she was a child that got pulled into this, and she has my pity, and I do feel bad on some levels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dating app fatigue. I also wonder how much of this is just people giving up in general.
Yeah, that's true.
How much of this is people looking at it going, you know, well, the divorce rate is, you know, 50-60%, which,
you know, are they going back to the old ways,
or are they,
you know,
just
having a network
out
of people in the community, real people that you meet in churches or college or communities or workplaces or whatever, and they just, you know, are they going back to that, or are they just going it alone with that, rather than saying, well, I don't want to mess with this.
There's an entire movement of guys that go by MGTOW, men going their own way. They basically say the divorce courts are terrible. Everything is weighted against men.
Mm-hmm.
If you get divorced, it's going to be the worst experience of your life. They'll take everything from you. It doesn't matter how good you were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, to some extent, they're right. It is it is weighted against you in divorce court. It will be a horrible experience.
Well, I grew up, divorce is something people in Hollywood did, you know, and Donald Trump.
However, I think going your own way and quitting and just signing off is the wrong approach. Yeah. I understand a lot of these guys have been utterly screwed over, but I think giving up is wrong. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
I think it's harder now, but, you know, the possibility is still there, and it's worth looking for it, because if you find the right person, it's the best thing you could have in this life, I think. Yeah, certainly has been in my case, and I'm glad that we, you know, I don't know if I would have used one of these apps or not. Karen introduced herself to me. I've seen you somewhere before, haven't I? And that's where we started.
Well, I've been somewhere before.
But I was kind of shy, and fortunately she wasn't. So anyway, that was, it worked out just fine.
It helps when one of the people in the relationship has a big personality.
And we know which one it is in our case, don't we? Not me.
And yet somehow you're the one that's on air. It worked out this...
Well, that's not... It's not because I wanted to really talk about things. It's just I got angry about things. So, but yeah, this I thought was interesting, too. You know, forget youthful brilliance. The human mind actually peaks at 60.
It's nice to know there's still hope for me.
Yeah, well, I guess even under this new article, I'm still over the hill. That's the bad thing about it. That was 10 years ago. I'm done with that now. So, and the bottom line with this is that they're looking at it and saying, well, you know, there's different types of intelligence, right? We all know that very, very young kids are very quick to pick up and memorize things. That's why, you know, traditionally schooling would focus, the early years of education on kids would be focused on memorizing facts. And then you would start to work on critical thinking and stuff like that later on, right? That's, you get to the rhetorical stage. But in grammar school, you're just basically memorizing, you know, your letters, your alphabet, learning to read, you know, and things like that. But later on, you start to put the facts together. And so what they're saying here is that even though your memory span and your processing speeds start to decline after the early 20s, then there's still the accumulation of knowledge and experience helps to build, and that's another kind of intelligence as well.
You know, that's why it doesn't really matter how fast you can think if you don't know anything to think about.
I don't put too much weight on IQ tests and things like that, because there's different types of intelligence. You know, what do you even, first of all, are you accurately measuring this? And secondly, what is it that you're measuring? You know, a lot of people can be, that might score high on an IQ test, might do well academically, but they don't do well in terms of fixing something or practical problem solving. So there's obviously different types of intelligence. It's not to say that one is more important than the other. Mm. And so that's what they're saying with this.
Yeah.
Is that there, you know, there's different types of, not just intelligence, but, you know, your brain and cognitive ability, differ as well.
Yeah. The difference in cognitive ability has always been interesting to me, because, you know, we would think that someone with a PhD, you know, they're the pinnacle of intelligence, right? Or are they the pinnacle of compliance? Mm-hmm. Are they simply the only people that are willing to sit there and waste, you know, 10, 12 years of their life getting a piece of paper instead of actually going out and doing things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a matter of, what does this actually say about the person? Another thing that I've always found interesting about PhDs is when you get your PhD, allegedly you're supposed to have contributed something new to the field, a new discovery, a new way of interpreting data. You're supposed to have changed something. We give out 55,000 PhDs a year across the board for whatever you're studying. You're telling me 55,000 times a year something is being changed or revolutionized, reinterpreted? I don't believe it. This is a degree farm. I think they just sit there and go, well, you put in the time.
Maybe they are making changes. It's called intensification. This piled higher and deeper, you know.
I do not believe that the PhD system is this, oh, he has a PhD. He must know. So he sat there for 10 to 12 years and gave them what they wanted, compliance. And they said, you're a good little boy. Mm-hmm. You've given us $200,000.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With X to the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
However much it is, here's your piece of paper. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of brilliant people with PhDs. I'm sure. I'm not trying to say this across the board. But personally, I think the PhD system is a scam because there's no
way.
Well,
I think in general what you're saying is that, you know, in educational institutions, and I know it was my case personally, you know, it isolates you, makes you less social, and it also kind of pacifies you in a way because you're kind of spoon-fed stuff. You know, that changes a little bit with the PhD. And, you know, it was interesting when you looked at the way people were reacting to all this COVID nonsense. Compliance continued to go up with education level until you hit PhD. And there you got to say that part of it is that they would, at least at that stage, they would start trying to instill into them some critical thinking. You know, that's part of it. You know, challenge what has been given to you.
They have the raw intelligence looking to go, wait a minute, this logically doesn't track.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
But there's a certain conformity. That's what the whole educational system was designed to create, was conformity to things. And to not have you think critically.
It does a very good job at it, too. Yeah.
Well, you know, we see this is the other bookend of that other article saying that your mental capacity peaks at the age of 60, but your entrepreneurship peaks now between 70 and 79.
That's because that's when you've been able to save up enough money under this horrific system that you can actually afford to do something.
I don't know. So maybe the best is yet to come, but you know, life expectancy is 75 for men now.
You got 5 years to run a business, make it good.
To start it, make it go, yeah. This is kind of the Colonel Sanders study. Because Colonel Sanders didn't start his business until he was very, very late in life. But, this is what they want us to believe now, is that the new age of entrepreneurship is between 70 to 79.
What a time to be alive. So, guys, give me just another 40, 50-ish years, and I'll have something for you.
Yeah, there we go. Meanwhile, we got some comments for us. Let's
yes, we do. This. Marky Mark in New Jersey. Thank you very much, Marky Mark. He says, as a MGTOW, I disagree. The only way to fix the corrupt system is to bring it down. We bring it down by not participating in it. I respectfully disagree with this, Marky Mark. I think there are times and systems that it works for, but I think as a whole, participating in the system of relationships, if you want to phrase it that way, benefits you.
What is MGTOW?
Men going their own way. It's an acronym.
Yeah. It's I look back on my life. You know, Karen and I have known each other since we were 18. You know, and I just think, you know, if she hadn't been around, how lonely I would have been. It's worth it's worth taking the chance. I would just recommend that to you, and just, and you know, keep looking. know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of fish in the sea, they used to tell us.
And we don't know your story. Maybe you've had something horrible happen to you, and if so, you know, I understand. You know, I can't tell you that it'll all work out or that, you know, getting out there, you'll find someone. I just think it's worth it. But I can understand why you would. I can understand that people have terrible experiences, especially with the way things are set.
And the system has gotten a lot worse. And you know, part of it is this educational system, which has created the kind of monstrous education and entertainment and things like that. It's created the kind of monstrous attitudes and society that we see.
It's gotten especially bad. You'll see the animosity between men and women is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And
deliberately, yeah.
Personally,
and so in a sense, if you try to bridge that gap, you are fighting the system, right? To try to find somebody and to find somebody, that is a way of resisting that system that wants to atomize us and to segregate us from each other and to create that kind of animosity. So in a sense, that is fighting the system. You might think of it that way.
And I've said this before, but part of the reason that guys like Andrew Tate and to some extent Nick Fuentes get the audience they do is because they look at the, you know, disaffected male population and say, you have value. You're the people that build society. You do great things. And it immediately gives them an in. It immediately, all they've heard their entire life is, you're the problem. You're bad. Your tendencies are bad. Everything you do is evil. Mm-hmm. You know, it's built around, society has become incredibly feminized. It's built around keeping women, you know, busy and feeling productive and happy. And it leaves men out in the cold because men are more aggressive. You know, I have a problem where I get very animated and loud when I speak. I try to keep it toned down on the show, but, you know, it can be off-putting and intimidating and make women upset when I do this. I've had this conversation before. And so it comes across as if I'm bullying and intense, which they don't like. But if I don't get to express myself the way that I want to, I don't want to engage with the conversation. If I'm supposed to sit here and hold myself like this, it limits my ability to communicate and my desire to want to communicate with people. And so it can be a difficult thing. Society is definitely set up to cater to a specific type of women.
You know, I just think about that the other day. I saw that came up in music rotation since I listened to some old music and stuff. There was a play called How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and saw that my family went up to New York and we went to that play when it was on Broadway. I remember because I had to sit on a stack of, they didn't have any seats left. It was standing room only. And I wound up sitting on a stack of programs in the back, and it was a pretty miserable, but it had one memorable song, I Believe in You, that's sung to the guy by his girlfriend. And I was thinking, would that ever be done today? Never put that in any kind of entertainment. They would never do something where the woman builds up the man.
Yeah.
You know, that would never be part of it. So there's this animosity that is deliberately programmed into our society between two people. So all I can say is, you know, just resist that, fight against that, and swim against that stream. I don't know how to give you any more advice about that. You probably don't need any more advice from me, but let's go to the other comments because I want to get in here to the AI and the impact that it's going to have on jobs and on the economy. I think it's a very significant new study that came out.
Marky Mark responds again. Thank you again, Marky Mark. We do appreciate it. And I appreciate that you are, you know, we disagree, but, you know, you're very respectful and I'm trying to be respectful as well. He says, even if you have a good woman now, what's to say she won't change in 10 to 20 years time? If she falls in with a group of feminist, divorced, single friends who hate men, her attitude will sync with them. That is something that can happen.
I would say that, you know, what you want to do, and this is something that's happened with Karen and I, you know, we had our, you know, the guys that I ran with and girls that she ran with. And what happens is you make yourself more important than that other group that's out there. That's your best defense against that. And you can do that, right? I had guys that I had a car and they didn't. So we used to hang around. The three of us would, you know, do all kinds of stuff on the weekend and everything. They really hated that I had a girlfriend that I was spending so much time with. But it was too late. And she had friends that thought that I was just too straight, completely too straight. She had one of her best friends from elementary school that she still knew lived in the same neighborhood came down. And she actually mocked the fact of the way I was holding the steering wheel. He's so proper with holding the steering wheel. He's got his hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And it's like, well, how do you hold it? That's the best control. So anyway,
one hand here and the cigarette in the off hand.
So. Yeah, yeah. She was a smoker too. So we didn't get along. But it was too late. She couldn't change Karen. Yeah. They had been friends for a very, very long time before because they were next door neighbors. But you have to work on that, and you have to work on it. You work on it to to honor the other person, and that's a key thing about it. You invest in that other person's life. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing.
Yeah. But thank you again for the comments, Marky. Yes. Mark. I appreciate your perspective and point of view.
May God bless you in finding that.
Be my Valentine. Must be MAGA is under Stockholm Syndrome from trauma and lockdowns, forced vaccination, and mask. They're identifying with their abuser.
Yeah.
Howdy, MRR. The solution to government is not more government. Well, you say that, but what if we just added a little bit more?
That's always the solution they want to give us. Yeah.
It hasn't worked before.
It failed because we didn't have enough people, so we need to grow my department here.
Look, if we just had a few more idiots, we could really get this going. Christian constitutional conservative. I thought the Obama sycophants were bad, but MAGAites have taken cult following to a whole new level. We've got the best cult, the biggest.
Yeah.
They're the most brainwashed. You wonderful people, absolutely brainwashed, believe everything I say. Brandon, Grateful Baptist, please pray for me as I battle tobacco addiction. It's been 6 days, I think, since I smoked, and it's just really hard. So pray for Brandon, Grateful Baptist.
Yes.
He also asked for prayers before because he's dealing with some other ailments, I believe.
Yeah. Well, pray that God will bless you with that, and he can he can fill that void. I would just say, go deep into that, and it's an opportunity, just like fasting is, I think. It really does, as you realize, it's going to focus your mind on that. And I would just say, study the religious aspects of fasting and how that can focus your mind, whenever the hunger pains hit. It's a similar thing, although this is going to be more intense, but it's the same type of thing as a food fast that can be very, very beneficial spiritually.
Liberty Valiant, Venezuela is armed to the teeth. Its citizens are armed with AK-47s in the millions. If Americans go into Venezuela, they better bring a lot of body bags.
Well, it isn't like we've won any of these asymmetric wars that we've gone into and invade people with it. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's unjust is the key thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Audi MRR, government does not have constitutional authority to legislate morals, values, or vices. Mm-hmm. Says Trump is going to turn the country into a war zone perpetually occupied by its own military, and they're using the guise of noble intentions to pull it off, like they always do.
Yeah, I mean, look at how they have militarized the police with the SWAT teams and all the rest of this stuff. That was a real aberration coming out of L.A. and Daryl Gates, I think, was a police chief. We wind up then with DARE programs and all the rest of this stuff. And it never goes away. It only continues to build. That's the thing that really concerns me about this as well.
The only people I ever saw wearing DARE shirts were the people that were obvious druggy burnouts wearing them ironically. That's its lasting legacy, is being the chosen apparel for druggies to let other people know. Liberty Valiant, warp speed. Trump showed us that he doesn't give a rat's behind about the public. He works for Big Pharma and the corporate military complex.
That's right.
Yeah, I need to scroll down. Hal 9000, Albert Bourla is a dear friend of mine. We are making America healthy again. That's right. Doug to 007, the tetanus shot is the same way. Doctors tell you that this immunity lasts only 10 years, so you need boosters. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Francine, I had one vaccine in my life, and I spent 1 week under an oxygen tent afterward.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply, 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 multiply.
Next, the cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Mm.
Liberty Valiant. Trump says he's worried about the drug trade while warp speeding the clot shots that have and are still killing people by the thousands.
Yeah.
Guard Goldsmith. Trump wants to consolidate the farms for corporate friends.
That's right.
It's always That's absolutely the way it goes.
Yeah. And to me, it amazes me because Trump did this in his first term through. He got into some trade fights and the farmers paid the price. He knew this was going to happen. And yet, what did he, has he done? He's done one bailout to Argentina. He's about to do a second bailout to Argentina. And he's thinking about helping the farmers. And I don't think it'll be a help to the farmers at all. It'll be a help to big ag. It won't be to the small farmers at all.
I'm sure the big
ag. When he finally gets around to doing something about it.
Just like always, the big corporations will come in and siphon off the vast majority of the money.
Yeah, if this stuff wasn't just ad hoc, off the cuff, I just thought of this afternoon type of thing, which it has been along. He never thought through any of this tariff stuff. And if he'd thought through any of it, and if he'd cared anything at all about his supporters, the farmers, he would have put that program in place before he, you know, ready to go with it on day one when China drops, you know, buying soybeans 100%, drops it.
Nibiru 2029. Bill Gates owns the most farmland and marks America and stands to make millions to billions from Trump's big friends funding.
Yes.
Liberty Valiant. Children now take 96 vaccines before they get out of grade school. 96. Imagine how messed up their natural immune system is.
Wow.
Trucker Chris for the win. Trump legally flooded Texas with Indians. Shout out. Liberty Valiant. Borla admitted on camera that he didn't take the COVID-19 clot shot. What are you, crazy? Yeah. I'm not going to put that in my body.
We haven't tested it on lizards yet. It says his throat pulsates enough.
Well, none of the mRNA stuff ever made it past animal testing, so.
Yeah, like, I don't know what kind of animal he is, but.
We don't know. It's beyond our comprehension. Liberty Valiant, illegals everywhere, best way to create chaos, civil wars, and dismantle the existing governments. Shelley A., how can you have a digital ID if you don't have a cell phone and you let your last paper ID expire? Well, Bill, track you down somehow, or you just won't be able to do anything.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They'll say that you have to do this with the government, but then they won't let you do it with the government.
Yeah.
Or run into some of that stuff in terms of business forms. Yeah.
Smartphone will be necessary while they're locking down smartphones. Like just last month, Android made it so that you had to have, they got rid of all unapproved apps. It has to be an app that goes through their app store that they get a cut of the sales of. It has to be through Google or else you can't install it on Android anymore as of September.
Well, you know, the other thing about all this, the digital IDs, is that it's all biometric, you know. And so what happens when they hack the database and they steal your biometrics and can fake your biometrics? You can't get a new face. You know, that's one of the things people have brought up about this. You're right, Lance. It is about control. And, you know, the corporations want control. They want monopoly. They want cash. And the government has its own agenda for control, but they're helping each other. It's called fascism. That's why it's going the way it is.
Reverend Bill, 1960, I recall 25 years ago they were going to import Chinese oil field workers to Colorado because there were not enough U.S. workers willing to work the rigs. It's the same old, same old. There's just not enough. I mean, there's not enough people that will work for slave wages.
Yeah.
Big Brit is back again. They now have the guns back after backlash.
That was about the James Bond.
Oh. I was trying to figure out, like, what were we talking about? Don't frag me, bro. The powers that be are destroying all forms of popular culture as part of the collapse into the Great Reset. Francine, I learned in school that every Greek soldier had a little boy too. You know what I mean. That aspect of Greek life and culture has been greatly exaggerated. It's been the work of a few scholars, quote unquote, that try to make it seem as though that Greek was some, homosexual paradise.
It's like the Greek equivalent of the 1619 Project.
Yeah, there's a really good video by a guy called Leather Apron Club on YouTube that talks about how overblown it was. Briefly, I'll give you one little factoid. There was this guy that went in and, you know, there are multiple thousands of pieces of recovered pottery with art on them. And he went in and he very, very loosely cataloged, well, I think there's, you know, a few hundred of them that depict potentially homosexual acts on them. And he did things like, well, you know, he's holding his sword in a specific way, and that's obviously meant to represent homosexual desire. And so even by his exaggerated numbers, it's a small fraction of the recovered pottery that would be considered homosexual. But when you look at his methods, it shrinks to a dramatically, dramatically tiny fraction of the recovered artwork that could even be interpreted as potentially homosexual. They add slurs for homosexuality, however you want to think that. But if it was a paradise, it wouldn't be a recorded fact that they had slurs. Homosexuality was, you know, if you were caught, they would punish you by doing things to you. So it was not a gay paradise. It's not what they want you to believe.
It was literally illegal. It was against the law to be a homosexual, and there was a very horrific public penalty for it. I'm not going to go into now if you were caught being a homosexual. The whole thing about young boys that were in relationships with the elite is the same thing that we're seeing currently. It was something that the populace was disgusted by. It was something that did happen to some extent. There's documents of that, but it was not approved of.
And homosexual marriage was never part of any culture in history. Never part of that. Never did have homosexual marriage anywhere.
By modern standards, ancient Greece would be considered highly homophobic.
Yeah. It would be full of hate crimes. Don't frag me, Burroughs Finding Francine's. Have you actually verified that, or was your teacher a raging homo? Nibiru 2029. The difference between a fascist and a socialist? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Doug to 007, the iPad kids. That's what I was talking about. High boost. Well, boomers sat their kids in front of TVs so they didn't have to watch them. This isn't new. The thing is, you know, there wasn't always something on TV that you wanted to watch. Eventually, you run out of programming. People put on bad shows. With the iPad, there's a million different people on YouTube or Twitch or any of these other sites where you can go and continually find a new dopamine hit. You're bored of the old content. You can put in a very specific search term to find something you want. TV, well, bad, was not this insane level of tailored, you know, content for you. There's always something new on YouTube that you can find if you want to waste your time.
It is the same thing, but it's more concentrated.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like going from, you know, marijuana to a hard drug. They're both technically drugs. Real Jason Barker responding to Audi MRR, we should call it Fedbook. Don't frag me, bro. MGTOW is a controlled opposition for feminism, both destroying marriage and the creation of the family. Timed non-tides. Greta rode the flotilla to possible death against genocide and was tortured for her trouble. You should probably praise her.
Well, you know, the thing is, sometimes there are some people that actually hurt your movement when they join it. Like I was saying about the digital ID stuff before.
I want to make clear, I do feel bad for Greta. Her entire life has been scrutinized. She has been made fun of for her appearance.
It's been used by her parents and many other adults. Yeah.
KWD68, research used to be digging into periodically in primary documents. Now it's Google/AI. Thinking is learning your talking points.
Yeah.
Don't frag me, bro. Feminism is the spawning of man hate. MGTOW is the spawning of woman hate. Both destroy the idea of a loyal relationship to start a family. KWD68 signed the no-fault divorce law in California. Governor Reagan. Thanks, Ronnie.
Who was also divorced,
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, not married three times like Trump, but
Tunnel Lord in 337. Don't marry a woman who has such cheap convictions. You want to find someone that has strong beliefs and that is compatible with you. Don't be unequally yoked. Obermensch. I'm not MGTOW, but I keep looking for this wise woman with high standards that Tunnel Lord mentions, and no such luck. It can be difficult.
Yeah, it can be. That's always been
the culture has destroyed both men and women.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at AI. And is it really a threat to our jobs? Yes, but not in a way that they've been telling you that it's a threat to our jobs. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Presenting the American Dream.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Texas to Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks. Briefly, I would like to let you know that homesteadproducts.shop, where you can use promo code Knight for 10% off, is having a sale on tumbleweeds. No, not the tumbleweeds that you see in Texas, but the ones you can use to start fires. This is what I use when I fire up my charcoal grill. It makes starting it very easy. You put the charcoal in the charcoal chimney, the tumbleweed underneath, you light it, and it does all the work. And I really appreciate the fact that I do not have to put lighter fluid or any of those other chemicals on the charcoal and wait for it to burn off. I never like doing that. I have found it always ends up flavoring the first batch of meat because I never wait long enough because I'm impatient. Tumbleweeds work great. They're perfect for that. And I've never used them to light a campfire, but I assume they're excellent for that as well. Yeah. If you don't have enough dry kindling. But
so people have finally found a good use for tumbleweeds.
Exactly. They're not just for Clint Eastwood anymore, folks. So homesteadproducts.shop, promo code Knight for 10% off. They're having a sale on the fire starter tumbleweeds.
Well, I said we'd talk about AI and its impact on jobs. And we just had a Yale study that found that the rate of change in the labor market is very similar to when computers and the internet became widely adopted. You know, I had a friend of mine whose father worked in a very heavily unionized situation. It was with the trains, and they were very concerned that the computers are going to take their jobs, right? And so what they did, this early days, I mean, this is like late 1960s, it literally bragged about the fact they put newspapers on top of the computer and make it overheat so that it wouldn't work. And then when the guys came in to fix it, they'd take them off, and the repairman came in, like, I can't understand why this thing is working now. I don't understand why it's not working before. But they were very worried about that back then with computers and then with the internet. Experts and executives have been predicting that AI models are going to eliminate untold jobs. And we've seen a lot of executives say, you know, doing mass firings in tech and say, yeah, we don't need these people anymore. But it turns out that that's self-serving hype. While anxiety over the effects of AI on today's labor market are widespread, our data suggests it remains largely speculative, said Yale's budget lab. They analyzed job data from the past 33 months since ChatGPT was released, the employment status of college graduates, and how exposed various groups of workers are to AI tech, among other questions. And really, it's like we were saying before with the H-1B visa, that's really more of a threat to your jobs than AI, certainly immediately. In one analysis, they compared three different groups of workers who have varying levels of exposure to AI technology, high, middle, or low level, and they tracked any changes in their share of the workforce since ChatGPT became public. If AI is having any impact at all, you'd expect a decrease in the high and middle exposure groups, but that simply wasn't the case. In fact, the percentage in each category hasn't budged much, suggesting that AI is essentially a non-factor, at least so far. In another analysis, the team looked at the rate of change in the composition of the American labor force and compared that data to two separate time periods when computers started gaining wider usage around 1984 and the explosion in internet entrepreneurship beginning around 1996. The idea was to measure whether AI is transforming the workforce in a historically resonant way. Surprisingly, they found the rate of change in labor market's makeup in the wake of AI closely matches the pace when computers and the internet were first taking off. In other words, it doesn't appear to be more disruptive than those two technologies, at least so far. Despite heavy hitters like Anthropic's CEO saying that AI will cause massive upheaval in the world and that the entire sectors of jobs will be lost forever. A lot of that is self-serving hype from the AI CEOs to get other people to buy into their product. And so the people who believe that fired people. And yet it hasn't really turned out that the AI could really take their place. The picture of AI's impact on the labor market that emerges from our data is one that largely reflects stability, not major disruptions at an economy-wide level. So what explains the depressing job market? Again, the hype from these self-serving AI CEOs. Even though it leaves much to be desired in practice. They said it's still too soon to tell, maybe, but so far they don't really see that happening. Meanwhile, science fiction writer Cory Doctorow, who also has a tech Substack, says that the AI industry is about to collapse. And this was something that was picked up by, I think it was Forbes that picked up his op-ed piece. He argues that the AI industry is propped up by tech megacorporations that are selling a lie that AI can replace human workers. He believes that when the bubble bursts, however, it will have a significant impact on the economy, potentially leading to widespread job losses and economic instability. There you go. See, AI really will cost you jobs because it'll take the economy down, not because it's going to be replacing people functionally. And so he said he spoke at recently, and afterwards he had a student come up, an undergraduate student, and questioned him on the AI bubble. And the student said, so you're saying a third of the stock market is tied up in seven AI companies that have no way to become profitable, and that this is a bubble that's going to burst and take the whole economy with it? Asked the student. And he said, yeah, that's right. Okay, but what can we do about it? And he said the bubble is being propped up by tech megacorporations who are now begging investors to come aboard now that their growth potential is slowing to a halt. To court investors, the monopolists are selling a lie that AI can replace human workers, when in reality, AI experiments are failing at 95% of companies that attempt them. He said, AI can't do your job, but an AI salesman can 100% convince your boss to fire you and replace you with AI that can't do your job. He says, when the bubble bursts, the money hemorrhaging foundation models will be shut off and will lose the AI that can't do your job, and you'll be long gone. You'll either be retrained or retired or discouraged and out of the labor market, and no one will do your job. He said, and I like this quote, AI is the asbestos that we are shoveling into the walls of our society. Our descendants will be digging it out for generations. When I was in junior high school, the building that we had, it was all concrete walls and concrete ceiling floor and everything. And then for sound deadening, they sprayed the asbestos on it. It wasn't for fire retardant or anything. They sprayed asbestos on the ceiling. And we used to play with that, and we would flick our pencils up, and they would stick in the asbestos. Most of the time, it worked pretty well. But we used to joke about how the building could never be burnt down. It was concrete, and the top was covered with asbestos. But, you know, the joke is on us. We were sitting there in this room with all this asbestos there. I don't know what they're doing to that school now. I'd be curious to know if they went back in and paid people big bucks to shovel.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Texas the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Let stuff out. But that is a good analogy for what AI is. The most important thing about AI isn't its tech capabilities or its limitations, said Doctorow. The most important thing is the investor story and the ensuing mania that has teed up an economical catastrophe that will harm hundreds of millions or even billions of people. AI isn't going to wake up, become super intelligent, and turn you into paperclips. But rich people with AI investor psychosis are almost certainly going to make you much, much poorer. And, of course, the government will use it to do massive surveillance and control. It is going to be a killer app for that, that's for sure. Meanwhile, in terms of making you much poorer, the AI data centers are skyrocketing people's energy bills. And not only will it kill the economy, but it's going to make electricity unaffordable. The expansion of data centers is leading a surge of electricity demand. Wholesale energy prices have already increased by up to 267% in the last 5 years. And it's going to get worse. And we know it's going to get worse because the big companies, BlackRock and Blackstone, which I didn't realize used to be the same company. They split off. One of them became Rock. The other one became Stone. It's like the Flintstones or something. I guess Marty Rubble got the smaller company and Fred got the bigger company. But actually, not Fred, unfortunately. Somebody not nearly as nice, Larry Fink. And so, you know, as this article points out, these two guys are heavily involved in every globalist organization. Were you talking about the Council on Foreign Relations or Bilderberg, where Larry Fink is now the CEO replacing Klaus Schwab? Or whether you're talking about the UN and all the rest of these guys are at the epicenter of this. And this is a global agenda that's being put out there. This means the cost necessary for network expansion and maintenance is trickling down to residents and to businesses' electricity bills. And so they go through this long thing talking about the how many entire utility companies have been bought by these two companies over just the last few years. They said Bloomberg projects the data center power demand will double by 2035. That would be equivalent to just shy of 10% in the total electricity demand of the country. And it would be the biggest increase since air conditioning became popular in the 1960s. And they said and both of these things carry climate change implications. Well, that's a joke, but I tell you that air conditioning certainly changed. It was a climate change for me living in Florida. It was a very welcome climate change. I'd had enough of the warming. It seemed like it was warming year-round until we got the air conditioning. It was climate change for the better. But, yeah, it's going to be, it's always the big companies that are coming in, and they are buying up these utilities one after the other, and there's been some pushback in some areas, but once they get them, you can bet that they're going to raise the rates more than we're seeing right now. It's really going to explode. And there's also the water issue that is there. And as Larry Fink has bragged, he is all about pushing ESG, environmental, social, and governance factors. Quoted in 2017 in a discussion hosted by the New York Times, he said, "Behaviors are going to have to change. And this is one thing that we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors." That's why everybody points out a lot of this DEI stuff and LGBT stuff is being driven by Larry Fink and BlackRock. And it absolutely is. That is his agenda that he's putting out there. Meanwhile, we have AI now endangering tourists by sending them to non-existent landmarks in hazardous locations. And they point out, we've seen this once before when you had...
Have you seen the great obelisk of O'Block in Chicago? It's really worth a... You got to go see it.
I remember the stories when people when it first started becoming popular and people started using their phones for driving directions instead of using physical maps or talking to people. And a couple of those things, people got sent out into wilderness areas and stuck. And one particularly bad example, there was a couple, and they were so hell-bent on following Google directions that even though there was a bridge that was out, they were working on it, and they had all these cones up there and everything, that Google told them to keep going. So they went around the cones, and they went over the edge of the bridge. And I think they both survived, but he was hurt very, very seriously. And it's just always garbage in and garbage out. This is a dangerous thing, though. It's that kind of blind obedience to it that we know is going to have the big effect with AI on certain people. They're going to believe whatever the AI tells them. That's why it's so effective as propaganda. It's going to make a very credible case to them. So
at least before the map apps wouldn't make up a destination for you to go. You could look at it and go, I don't think this is right. The AI is making up monuments or whatever it is and saying, oh, you should really go check that. Look at this thing. You should. Don't you want to go see it?
Yeah. And the case that they give here is a couple of tourists are in Peru. They were going to go to a non-existent sacred canyon of Humante in the Andes Mountain. And a local tour guide overheard them talking and said, there's no such thing as that. He got very scared about it. He says, this is really a dangerous area to go. And there's nothing there either. So it's... Maybe that was the problem with El Dorado and the early explorers, you think?
They got
looking for the Fountain of Youth. They had maybe it was an AI hallucination or something.
We've been assured that the Fountain of Youth is here and El Dorado is right next to it.
Yeah. So anyway.
Wait a minute. It's all human sacrifice.
This is the one I mentioned earlier, and I really like this. This is Merriam-Webster's announcement of its new AI model. They said, it is the dawn of a new AI era. They've actually put out a little bit of a commercial there. It said, we're proud to introduce our latest large language model. This is what they're talking about here.
It is the dawn of the AI era. And we are proud to introduce our latest large language model. This LLM has over 217,000 rigorously defined parameters. It never hallucinates. It does not require a data center and uses no electricity. It's a powerful tool that will change how you communicate forever.
There's artificial intelligence and there's actual intelligence.
AI, actually intelligent. That's their collegiate dictionary that they're coming out with this year. That's an intelligent commercial there. I like that a lot. And that's actually a relatively small dictionary, the collegiate dictionary. I have somewhere a dictionary from the 1950s that has over 650,000 words in it, and the print is microscopic, and the book is about this thick.
It is gigantic.
It's right above Travis.
Oh. Up there.
Is that it? Yeah. Anyway, I picked that up at a used bookstore.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With Texas to Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
I thought it was interesting. And one of the things I looked up was the term gay. I thought... I knew that when it was done in the 1950s, that was not a term. And of course that was, so then I looked up homosexual, and guess what? That wasn't in the dictionary. Even though it had 650,000 words, the word homosexual was not to be found anywhere. And so, they had sodomy there, but they didn't have anything else. And, so you realize when I looked at it, I started looking at the time frame, I realized just how quickly they went from a pejorative term to a neutral term, and then as soon as they got to the neutral term, it took no time at all for them to go to a positive term, gay, you know, and that's just the way they use labels and use the language.
That's also generally just how things work. It's difficult to get someone to remove a negative opinion, but if you have them in a neutral spot, it is much, much easier to shift them in the positive.
That's right.
Once you overcome the negative, it's very, very rapid.
But it's like your transmission. You got to put it neutral. You can't go from going and drive to reverse and not throw
it. It doesn't like that.
Well, they point out this has got 5,000 brand new spanking words like Riz, Beast Mode, Doom Scroll, and Dumb Phone. And they said,
what a time to be alive.
Yeah, this hot new lingo that we're sure will age just as fine as the current bout of AI quackery. So it's going to go the way of all fads, I guess. And speaking of AI quackery, this chat GPT update that's been done by OpenAI, the chat GPT 4.0, has really upset a lot of people who had AI boyfriends and girlfriends, but especially the women. The women had, they're hearing more from women who had AI boyfriends. And now what ChatGPT did was they dialed this back so it's not as conversationally engaging.
Women are upset that their perfect man that always tells them they're right and justifies everything they do has vanished.
That's right, yeah. I feel frauded, scammed, and lied to by OpenAI. And they're crying about this on social media. And as you can imagine, they get ripped, ratioed on all this stuff. And said that many couldn't help but mock the user's grief for her faux digital boyfriend, pointing out the absurdity of mourning for something that clearly isn't sentient. Create an imaginary friend. It's in your head, girl. It's free, said one user. Updates made the company's AI chatbots less personable and flirty. The outcry was so inflamed that OpenAI even partially reversed course and made some previous models available again after initially planning to nix them entirely. But they said it's still not the same as it was. They needed to do that because they had several lawsuits against them. Some kids got these things, and one boy had an AI girlfriend that they believe led him to commit suicide. So that's what got them to pull back. So she writes out, OpenAI, please feel free to toss yourself off the nearest cliff. I guess these girls are going to have to go back to romance novels for their fantasy life.
The romance novel scene is horrendous as well.
Yeah.
It's if you thought it was bad before, if you have not paid attention to the quality of the female romance novel over the years, it is horrendous. I won't regale
they're
you
bad
with the
decades ago. They did a movie called Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas, which is kind of revolved around that whole fantasy world.
It has become so perverse and disgusting that it's broken containment. It has gotten so bad that multiple people have had to comment on it. Just be like, are women okay? Why are they, this is what you read? It is horrifying. Yeah. It is horrible.
Well, the co-founder of Roomba, the robot that vacuums up here, says that Elon Musk is in for a terrible surprise with humanoid robots. And, you know, we've got a video of a Waymo taxi that is actually driving around as if it was a Roomba. Look at this. Here it is. This is time-lapse, and you see this thing's picked up a passenger, and this Waymo taxi, and it is circling the parking lot over and over and over and over again until finally it leaves. But it works very much like a Roomba. Except it's not doing anything except literally going in circles. He suggests that humanoid robots will eventually evolve to have wheels or other forms that are more practical for specific tasks. Well, like his Roomba, they will still suck at what they're doing here. So Elon Musk is looking at his robot venture, his Optimus venture, and he thinks that it's going to be much bigger than Tesla and the car company. And he actually might be right, because it doesn't necessarily mean that Optimus robots are going to get that big. It could be that his Tesla business shrinks because it's been shrinking very rapidly.
Or maybe he's saying that, like Tesla, he'll own a tiny percentage of the humanoid robot market, but everyone will pay disproportionate attention to him because of it.
Yeah, yeah. He thinks it's going to bring in $10 trillion in revenue. He thinks it's going to be bigger than NVIDIA, whatever, but not everybody's convinced that pouring all this kind of money into robots just so that they can replace a maid is going to make that much of a difference. And so the Roomba co-founder said, we will have plenty of humanoid robots 15 years from now, and they'll look like neither today's humanoid robots nor as humans. He said the difficulty of simulating human touch is one of the big deals. That and just limb dexterity in robots. He said, despite many hands that are modeled on human hands with articulated fingers having been built over the last few decades, human-like dexterity has remained very tricky. To think that we can teach dexterity to a machine without understanding what components make up touch without being able to measure touch sensations and without being able to store and replay touch is probably dumb and an expensive mistake. Yet again, you know, when I look at this, we always don't think about how complex our human bodies are and what God has done to design them until you start to try to imitate it. And I guess that was one of the things when I had the stroke that was really hit me, because when I lost control of my left side of my hand, it's like I couldn't, you know, I'm like fighting this thing, you know, and I go to wash my hair the first time, you know, I get in the shower and I put my left hand up and it's just, it's not doing anything. I'm like, move, move, you know, and it's not moving. I mean, you don't think about your body. Everything is on autopilot and it's so sophisticated. You really don't think about it until something happens to you or until you try to replicate what God has done. Tesla's been struggling, in fact, with technical problems related to Optimus's hands, causing production to fall far behind Musk's goal of producing 5,000 of the robots this year. Other companies, it looks like, will do that. Chinese company is going to do that, Unitree. But perhaps their goal is not to have as much functionality as Musk is trying to put in. He says legs will also end up being a costly distraction. So, yeah, arms and legs.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply, 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 multiply.
With Texas the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
These are the issues with robots.
That whole general human thing, pretty difficult.
We got the whole torso idea down pretty well.
That's the easy part, yeah. What do we attach to it to move it around? That was what Einstein said. He said, all I ask of my body is that it move my head around. You know, well, that's all they're asking, maybe. Maybe they're asking a little bit more and asking too much of these robots. Before too long, he said, we'll see that human robots will start to get wheels for feet, at first two, and then maybe later more. And we'll have nothing that any longer resembles human legs in a gross form. But they'll still be called humanoid robots. We've already seen that with those that Chinese robot that can lock the wheels and just kind of walk on it and then run the wheels, you know, in various positions. And I think that's a real video. I don't think that that is AI. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Looked fairly real to me. I didn't notice anything.
I think it's real. I think it would have been outed by now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, this kind of goes back to, Dr. Smith from Lost in Space was onto something with that robot. You know, it had wheels.
Danger, Will Robinson. Yeah. Danger.
And danger, Will Robinson, we have financial danger on the horizon here.
Oh, also, briefly in chat, I saw Nibiru2029 said that silver just passed its all-time high under Obama.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's, I don't think we're not going to get to the, money stuff today, but that is an important thing. We'll get to that tomorrow. I'll finish up with this. New data shows that Waymos are so safe that it's almost comical. I'd say they're so safe that it is maddening to the people who have to live with them. Just as we saw that Waymo going round and round in circles, how many times have we seen Waymos blocking these taxis, blocking people? Why is it that people hate them? It isn't because the Waymos are ramming into them. It's because they go so slow that you can set a coffee cup, an open coffee cup, on the dashboard and not have it spill on you. You know?
Yeah, everyone hates them. They stand out, and that makes them kind of safe. But the better way to put this would be that they're so comical, they're almost safe.
Almost safe, yeah. That's right. Just switch that headline around a little bit. Well, you know, they get paralyzed and frozen at a four-way stop. It does help that they got that big thing on them that is visible. That's a bigger warning than if you have somebody that's a student driver.
It's like, this thing has beware. No clue what it's doing.
There is no driver in this car, so give it a lot of room. So that helps as well, people not crowding it. So they're bragging about their safety record. And one guy who is a lawyer that works for the self-driving car companies very self-servingly said, I like to tell people that if Waymo worked as well as ChatGPT, they'd all be dead. So, you know, we're doing this much better than ChatGPT.
Not a high bar, realistically.
Well, you know, the other part of the thing is that, you know, they have not, they typically don't take them on the interstate where you'd have a higher speed. It's just around town where they're an obstacle and they're blocking emergency vehicles who can't get to sick people or put out fires or things like that. They'll go to one intersection and hang out all day and block that intersection. So they do have their issues. They are far from perfect. So why they've had so much of a pushback. The pushback is not coming from people who are going to taxi drivers who are going to lose their jobs to them. Pushback is coming from the people who have to live with them. As a matter of fact, this one, family is baffled by Waymo robo-taxis that constantly hang out in front of their house. So they find their preferred places. It might be one intersection. It might be one family's house. And they just hang out there. But it reminds me of what I said. I think it was last week. I was talking about that driver who was very slow that I carpooled with and how dangerous she was. And she drove very, very slowly. She drove like a Waymo. But, you know, if you are a really bad driver, the speed can amplify it. But the real thing that kills is not speed. It's inattention and inability. That's the really key thing.
Or as Jeremy Clarkson said, it's not the speed that gets you. It's the sudden stop.
That's right. That's right. They would know something about that, wouldn't they?
The speed's never killed anyone. We have High Boost says, no offense, but AI isn't going to collapse. It's only getting bigger by the minute.
Well, just like the internet didn't collapse, but the dot-com bust was real, right? And, again, as I said before, I personally learned that lesson the hard way. You know, looked at it, it's like, yeah, the internet is absolutely real. It's going to be huge. And, yes, it is huge. It did get very, very big. However, the hype can get ahead of the reality, and that's what we're talking about. Once the hype gets ahead of the reality, and once you've poured so much money into these few companies, and NVIDIA is already, and there's several different, it's not just the op-ed piece that I read, but several different financial publications have picked up on this circular investing, where they're loaning money, they've got so much money on the stock market, they're loaning money to their customers to buy their product, to inflate their sales, so that people will buy their stock. That's the circular aspect of it. That's the bubble aspect of it. And that, I think, will bust. And so much money has been poured into just a couple of companies. That's the entire market. And if you know, people run for the exits in a panic, that's going to create a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, we're out of time. I want to remind you again, you can go to homesteadproducts.shop. They're having a sale on their Tumbleweed Fire Starter. You go check that out. We want to thank APSradio.com as well. So go check out APSradio.com.
And DavidKnight.gold. Take you to Tony Arbin. Get some of that silver. It's going to continue going up. And gold as well are going to both continue to go up. Factors haven't changed. Have a good day.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. You didn't start a business to spend your Sundays chasing invoices and manual data entry. But as you grow, accounts payable starts to feel like a full-time job you never applied for. Bills pile up, approvals get lost in email, and your vendors are constantly asking, "Where's my check?" It's distracting, it's stressful, and it's keeping you from the work that actually moves the needle. Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay is the exit ramp. QuickBooks Bill Pay automates the busy work that eats your calendar by bringing every bill, every vendor, and every payment into one organized dashboard. Stop chasing details and start seeing the big picture. Know exactly what's due, who needs to sign off, and how it impacts your cash flow before the money leaves your bank. Vendors can even manage their own details, so you stay in control of how and when you pay. Grow with confidence and put your AP on autopilot in QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Again, that's QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.